Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Carolla Classics is brought to you by LifeLock. There's still some more online holiday shopping this year, and you may have a higher risk of identity theft and phishing attacks. Well, experts recommend you check your credit score, don't overspend, limit new credit cards, and freeze your credit if needed even after the holidays, because it's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft affect our lives, especially during these holidays where you could miss identity threats just by monitoring your credit or your bank statements. Well, LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, for sale on the dark web. And if they detect that information is being used in their network, they send you an alert and help restore your identity easier than you could on your own. Check it out. It's LifeLock, right, Gio?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions in all businesses, but LifeLock can help you feel warm and protected this holiday season. Save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com with promo code Adam. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com, promo code Adam.
Hello and welcome to Carolla Classics for Saturday, December 19th, 2020. We're almost done with the year. Thank you so much for tuning in. You know how the show goes. We play some clips from the Adam Carolla Show. Some highlights, a little highlight reel. Over 11 years of podcasting, and we got a lot to choose from. We got a great show planned for you. My name's Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody. We got a great episode. I'm pumped.
I'm so pumped. First off, I want to remind everybody about Geico. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico Weezy. Visit geico.com today. All right, let's kick it off with a clip from 2017 where Adam talks about Tool Tune. What is the Tool Tune, Gio?
It's a thing Brian's brother, Brian Bishop, the sound guy, his brother apparently came up with his bros. Songs that are good, but are kind of embarrassing, so you feel like a tool when you're listening to them. So the ultimate Tool Tune, which Adam is suggesting he may have found in this episode, 2176. Sometimes yacht rock, ballads, stuff that's super earnest, qualifies a whole range of different types of music. It's just something you'd want to roll the windows up if you were at like a crosswalk at a stoplight, and you didn't want anybody else to hear what you had going on in the car.
That's the test.
Yeah. This is from October 9th, 2017, aired the following day, 2176. Christopher Titus, Gina Grant, Brian Bishop. We've played this before. Titus, he's not in this portion. This is from the intro. Adam brings up the song that he thinks might be the ultimate Tool Tune, and they go on to play a few other songs that are also possible Tool Tunes. Check it out.
I heard the ultimate, I think. I'm glad Max Pattis entered the fray here. I can see him through the glass.
It's the top of his head.
He knows about music. That's right. I was driving over to Chris Morgan's house on Saturday night, watch Willie T, Doc, and talk a little Fast and Furious. And the song that came on the radio, I thought, this could be the ultimate Tool Tune.
Ooh.
But I can't remember if it was discussed or not. Brian says no.
No.
Dawson says no.
Not on this show.
I tend to believe him, and I think this may be a top five Tool Tune.
Dawson, do you have room to play it? Okay, I got it. Here we go. Starting off strong.
Yeah.
Am I strong?
Timeless.
Right out of the gate.
Timeless.
This is the London Royal Philharmonic.
Try to put the Casio super far.
Different levels too. One's got to be up, one's going to be down.
Now remember, you have to not want to change the channel. You have to want to turn it up. And you have to be mortified if a black person comes near the car and the window's down. That's kind of the real criteria.
You mentioned this is Survivor?
Yeah, Survivor, yes.
This is their song, Not Eye of the Tiger.
Right. I know the songs Dawson likes, though.
I've front and back-sold this on the radio.
Front and back-sold. We might get a chance to recreate your youth in a second. Now, Max Patti, you don't know this song, do you? They do Street and the Heat.
I think fitness checks every box.
I like it, and I know it's tool tuning. Like, I am embarrassed as hell.
The only thing that might hold it back was not a big enough hit. Like, do people know this song is blasting out of your car? Like, Eye of the Tiger, people know the song.
But I think this is so bad that it surpasses.
It makes up for that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
It was a hit. I don't know if it was top... probably top 10. You got to look it up, Gary.
This is about the concert where people are leaving because they're not playing Eye of the Tiger again.
Oh, no. If you're seeing Survivor,
you're
it's
right.
This and Eye of the Tiger.
It's a self-selecting
those are the only two.
Now, when people would say, this came out, I think, after Eye of the Tiger, and they said, no, they're actually a really good band. Have you heard that song, High on You? They can do other stuff.
He's begging for touch.
Chris, this is called The Hook.
High on You reached number 8 in mainstream rock.
Wow. 10.
8.
I like that he's begging for a touch in the middle of the street. Like, I'm like a handy, even if we get run over. So, Dawson, you're with me. This is Tool Tune.
Totally. This is 100%. This is the quintessential Tool Tune.
I love the steady, unimaginative drum beat.
The drummer for Survivor listening right now. Single teardrop.
Just be steady as she goes.
We're back for more. Right about now, picturing pulling up to a crowded bus stop at a red light, windows down. I'm starting to sweat.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's getting comfortable.
No, if I'm to be honest, I would never switch this song if it popped on my 80s channel. I would turn it up, but I would fear for my life if I thought other people, even certain members of the elderly community, could hear this song. I would fear for my life.
If you get to your destination, but you can't get out of the car, you got to listen to this song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a driveway song.
Now you're talking about, do you leave the engine running for the air conditioning? Or?
All right, you guys, I don't know, let's vote on this one, but I have it top 5 Tool Tune. Yeah,
top
because
five.
Well, because you can't be
bold.
It can't be the best song. It's got to be a song that you would never change and would be horrified if somebody heard you rocking out to this in the parking lot.
Yeah, I deem it a Tool Tune. People forget Tool Tune's not bad songs. If a bad song comes on and you like it, that's a guilty pleasure. Tool Tune's at heart a good song, and I think this fits the criteria.
Yeah. Gina?
It's catchy, but you know why I'm surprised you like it so much? It doesn't go anywhere.
No,
I thought
it
had that Bruno Mars quality
it
you hate so much.
In.
But it is 100% a Tool Tune.
No, Bruno Mars is 5 different songs that were created before he was born that he cobbled together loosely, and that's why I don't like that. This is just a candy-filled nothing beat that just kind of plots along that is good if you just fell in love with a chick with big hair, but bad if you just got divorced. You want to back sell it? You want to front sell it?
Both.
You want to front and back sell it? We got to do the beginning. We got to do the top.
He needs a post count.
You want the intro?
Give me the top. I'll work the post.
All right.
Another Monday afternoon, and you are tuned to 95.7. We'll call it Max FM. We're kind of like Jack FM, but we lean gay. My name is Dawson. Got some Bee Gees coming up in this 30-minute set. Let's keep rocking with Survivor. I'm high on you.
Wow, that's a pro.
Well done.
That's a pro.
That's an old radio bowl for you.
Wow, we got to do a segment, Gary. It's the front cell with Mike Dawson.
And the back cell.
And the back cell.
Give away some tickets.
All right, folks, we're going to get a little bit higher in just a few minutes because I do got tickets for Rip and Roar in action at the Coliseum coming up this weekend. That's right, the Monster Truck Showdown. And if you're listening to this station, you're probably wondering, do I really want to go to Monster Trucks? Yes, you do, because the first ever gay 4x4 will be there with Big Brad Bodine. Give me a call at 800-957 Max FM. I'm Dawson. Right back.
Yeah, hello.
Well,
I feel
done.
For you. Yeah,
this is the next song.
Clearly,
we've got.
There's no post on that song. That is the toughest song to front sell. You don't step on that one at all.
All right, Dawson, once a week, I want a front sell from you. You got to come up with a tool tune. Be nice to start with the tool.
Right.
Go to the toolbox. And, that's the name of the station, the Toolbox. That's a new format on SiriusXM.
K-T-O-L.
The Toolbox, and you front sell. All right.
Can do.
All right,
I'm going to dig up some Night Ranger for next time.
Please.
Yes.
It'd be nice. All right. And Dawson, it is correct that I know the songs you like and don't like, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Good. Great man.
And that was Adam playing what perhaps could be the ultimate tool tune of all the tool tunes.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many of them been suggested. We probably have to do a bracket for this at some point and go back to the very first suggestion on the podcast. This came up on the morning show, but it wasn't really done the same way it is on the podcast. So the podcast was really where we'd start. And we could go through all the songs picked. There's probably over 50 at this point, maybe over 100. So it might be a really interesting series of brackets to break down for fans.
Yeah, and for the Brian and Gina shows, the ones where Adam was away and they hosted in lieu of him, we used to do a lot of tool tune exploration too. So
those are great episodes for extended tool tune segments.
Oh yeah, and still tool tune stands strong. We talk about it all the time. Let's get going with another clip. We've got Gina's news, Adam rant about LA. I mean, what else do you want?
It's a pretty epic rant about Los Angeles. Everybody, in fact, labeled it epic. It may be one of the most epic, and it actually happens while the guest is there. It's Adam Carolla Show 2181, featuring Aaron Mankey, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. Aaron's talking about his show Lore that Gina's familiar with, and they get into that a little bit in the episode. That's not in this portion. This is just Gina's news, and in the middle of her news, Adam goes on this crazy rant. Then they go to the topic of decluttering and death cleaning, which is also very interesting and kind of reminiscent when they had the Hoarders guy on years prior. Adam Carolla Show 2181, October 16th, 2017, aired the following day. Check it out.
Well, scientists in Switzerland have discovered a whole bunch of hidden treasure in a very unlikely spot. According to a recent study, roughly $2 million worth of gold is passed through the country's sewage system every year. They say about 95 pounds of gold turns up at sewage and waste treatment plants, and they know where it's coming from. They believe the tiny pieces of gold get into the wastewater system from the country's many watchmaking facilities. Some plants reveal higher concentration of gold than others, and scientists believe that
we should check in with Mexico. Nope, no gold.
Still none. There's one guy with a pan down there.
I think where you'd buy the watch the least.
That it's actually worthwhile to start retrieving this gold. $2 million every year.
Dawson, Spandau Ballets, song of the same name. I'm telling you, it could be a tool tune here, people.
Uh-oh. That's the one that the Nerd Walking's based on, yeah?
Could be. I'll tell you. Sorry. Yeah, they should retrieve it. And I figure, since every third person there is a scientist, I feel like they could too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Switzerland.
Yeah.
Brian, you got something?
No.
Oh, okay.
We'll find it.
All right. So California just became the first state to ban pet stores from selling dogs, cats, and rabbits unless they come from shelters or rescue groups. Governor Jerry Brown signed the bill into law last Friday. Takes effect in January 2019. Now, the law doesn't prevent breeders from selling animals directly to customers, so people who want to buy an animal from a breeder can still do that, but they cannot buy it in a pet store.
I don't care. And I'm fine with it. But again, we don't have schools or roads that work. I just don't want them. Hey, good news out of downtown. What happened? They've changed the name of Columbus Day. Woo! All right. That's going to do. When you look at this guy, I'm putting this out there to whoever the goddamn mayor is of Burbank or Glendale or Sun Valley. When you look at this goddamn fucking stretch of highway between here and like Sun Valley, like they going to the Burbank airport, it looks like war-torn Beirut. It is just trash everywhere. Your fillings are going to fall out the freeway. So fucked up. Graffiti everywhere. And I hate the most depressing, the weird kids toys. There's kids toys that are being used like to create like a makeshift wall so the guy can sleep by the side of the freeway and not get dragged off by coyotes. It is just a fucking dump. It's an embarrassing dump. And I don't know who the dickheads are who run the fucking city. Like, don't they travel the highways? Like, every single time I get picked up at LAX, Brian was nice enough to do it yesterday, and drive us here, I just look by the side of the frame and I go, what is going on in this city that it's such a decrepit dump? I just got back from Tennessee. It's bucolic. You drive along, it's mountains and green, and there's no, and I go, it's a different demographic. I don't give a fuck about the demographic. It's we're called Americans and we pay fucking taxes. What is going on in this city and when is it going to end? And please, enough with the legislation about the pet stores and the Columbus Day, and start fucking focusing on what I'm looking at when I'm stuck in this horrible traffic. And it's lose-lose because you're not moving anywhere and you can just look to your right and look to your left. And it's the ugliest landscape ever. It's like your graphic artist, if there was a depression artist, and they just went, what is going to put people in the worst moods? They just go, all right, how about some graffiti? Okay.
That's a good
start. Let's go ahead and take that green and turn it brown. Let's get some nice brown weeds. Weird mystery stalk weeds. Weeds that are 8 foot high. Just pushing up through the blacktop. Just reaching to heaven, except for it's to hell. And it's fucking shopping carts and mattresses and
play school picnic tables.
Yeah, just all the junk that nobody wants. Whose territory is this? And fuck Mike August, because every time I bring it up, he's like, hey, don't expect the people who live in this city, you know, over there in Sun Valley, they're all renters. They don't have pride about it. I'm not telling them to clean up by the side of the freeway. I'm saying who runs the freeway? Who's goddamn in charge of this? Who's fucking cleaning this stuff up? We don't pay enough in taxes? Get your fucking shit together, LA. Why are we so off? What's going on? Who's running this place? And why do they keep making these proclamations? And how come I never hear a goddamn word about cleaning it up? Making beautification, getting rid of all the graffiti and all the trash. We're going to smooth it out. We're going to save your suspension. Why is this just a non-starter? How come every time Garcetti takes to the microphone, he's going to make some other fucking empty proclamation about how he weeps for the homeless? How about the fucking taxpayers? What about it? What's going on? I travel all around the country. I've never seen a city that looked less looked after. We're the sloppiest, looking, trashiest looking city on the map. And you can say whatever about the residents or apartment dwellers, whatever. Fine. Everyone pays a shitload in taxes. Let those folks go do something. I don't get it. What is it? And I know what I can't figure out is a guy who notices everything. There's a mayor. What's the name of the mayor? Gary, find me the name of the mayor of Burbank or Glendale or Sun Valley. Doesn't this dickhead travel the fucking freeways? Isn't he embarrassed? Like, if people came to my town and I went, hey, I'm the mayor of Sun Valley, let's have a look around, and there's just trash and homeless everywhere and fucking kids' toys turned over on the side of the freeway and just scorched air, scorched dirt and dead weeds, I'd be fucking humiliated. Paula Devine of Glendale. Paula Devine, why don't you have some fucking pride? Get your head out of your fucking ass and do something. Do you travel the freeways? Does Paula Devine and Sunland, Javier...
Finally, someone's calling out Paula Devine. Your time has come, Devine.
Javier
Perea.
Perea. Pariah. Javier Perea of Sunland. Sunland is a fucking dump. Tijuana laughs at Sunland. It's the ugliest, shittiest looking fucking stretch of highway. It's a dump. It's a dump. Javier, do you live in Sunland? Do you travel in Sunland? Do you know anyone who works in Sunland? Can you fucking clean up your shit box? It's a fucking litter box filled with cat shit, and your fucking taxpayers have to drive it every day. Javier Perea. How would you say that?
I like Pariah.
Javier Pariah and Paul Devine and Burbank is Dr. David Gordon. How about you get your fucking shit together and clean up your goddamn piece of shit town? Your freeway looks like shit.
It's a doctor of shitty freeways, I'll tell you that much.
God damn. Sunland is... Listen, I've been to Tijuana a lot. It's a lot uglier and shittier than Tijuana is.
I owe Javier an apology. That was Sunland, New Mexico. For some reason, Sunland, California doesn't appear to have its own mayor.
Oh.
All right.
Well, that's why nobody's watching the factory.
Paula Devine and Dr. David Gordon, your stretch of five freeways, an ugly eyesore embarrassment. You guys should be fucking humiliated. I don't know what you're doing, but you can't do it right if that's what your piece of shit freeway looks like. And how about you clean up that shit? And you know, don't give me some jurisdiction bullshit. Get the fuck out of the car and go clean it up yourself. Everyone's paying taxes. It's a depressing, embarrassing mess. You should be ashamed of yourselves. God damn, I'm fucking tired of this city. It's the ugliest stretch in the world. This right, our exit down to Penrose, which is about 3.5 miles, is the ugliest stretch of highway in America. And yet we pay the most in taxes. We have the most commerce. We have the most business. We have all the studios. How about you get your shit together and clean up your fucking stretch of highway? How, I don't know, get convicts on Saturdays with fucking garbage bags. Like, do something. Because you can go get off on the Penrose exit and you can drive past the weird dirt homeless encampment there with all the garbage everywhere and then come back 4 months later. Hey, you two, and who's in charge of North Hollywood? That place is a fucking dive. Find me the bitch that's in charge of North Hollywood. I hope it's a dude so I don't get into trouble.
But
the
Adam,
point is
they have the NoHo Arts District.
I took my fucking daughter with me to go out to North Hollywood to look at some vanities and to go, and I drove through Sunlin and Sun Valley, down Penrose or whatever, through the canyon. My daughter want to know what the fuck was going on. Like, she said, what's going on? And I said, this is North Hollywood. This is what North Hollywood has turned into. This is where Daddy grew up. Yeah. And at some point, I stopped at some place in, like, Sun Valley, some glass place, and I said, I'm just going to run in. She's like, I'm not staying here.
Right.
It's noon on a fucking Saturday, and my daughter was scared shitless to get out of the car and ran serpentine to the front of this glass place because your pile of shit town is so fucking ugly, so broken down, so dilapidated that my fucking daughter's scared to get out of the goddamn car. Jesus fucking Christ. All right. Just get your shit together, would you? Could you guys go out and fucking do something? Clean up your piece of shit town. It looks like shit. And you can go to the inner cities or the South Side or whatever, or Compton. I'll put that stretch of the five freeway in Sun Valley and North Hollywood and Sunland. I'll put that up against any piece of shit you can throw at me because I'll beat your ass 9 times out of 10 on the ugly scale. It is a fucking embarrassing mess. Why don't they do something? Who's in charge of North Hollywood?
Everything keeps coming up Garcetti, but...
Exactly what it is. I'm going to guess that North Hollywood and much like Sun Valley, unless it's Sun Lakes, are part of this, just part of Los Angeles. And so I think that's part of the problem is it's this big, unwieldy behemoth where in a normal city, you'd be able to control the things that happened in your area, in your city. Mm-hmm. But here, North Hollywood is the same as... Garden Grove or, you know, wherever.
Right. And the difference between Sun Valley and Sunland Hollywood and not Garden Grove.
But you know what I'm saying? It's an enormous stretch.
Garcetti doesn't live there, doesn't give a shit about it, and it's filled with illegal Mexicans who don't complain. So he never gets on his map. If where he lived on the west side looked anything like that for 10 minutes, he'd have constituents coming at him all the time. So he'd have to do something about it. But this is just poor Mexicans walking in a circle looking for a fucking place to die. And that's why it's trash. They're not on anyone's radar. You have to actually care about your fucking job, not being reelected. You have to care about your job to go over there and do what's right. That's not what Garcetti's interested in. If if 0.1% of this shit landed with the affluent folks, the folks that like to have the Hillary fundraisers on that side of the hill, he wouldn't put up with it for a second.
May I propose an option that is your idea?
Yes.
Do we need to give some sort of tax incentives to the gay community?
Yes.
Move over there.
Get the gays to Sunland.
Always a nicer looking neighborhood.
Always. Or maybe we can go over there and talk to some of the locals and just go, Jose, yeah, you ever think about blowing a guy? No. Jose, let me show you some pictures of West Hollywood here. Mm. Look good?
See.
You own property here?
No.
Oh, okay. You see that guy, your neighbor over there with the dirt lawn?
See.
Yeah, you'd like that house to be worth a little more?
See.
How about a blowjob?
Es posible.
It would help.
Is that would go if you had limited understanding of Spanish.
It would help.
Like me.
All right, look, I didn't want to have to go here, but you were willing to convert to Judaism? We got to clean up this town. See. I can't make you Asian. We got to do something here. Okay.
There's so much you can do.
All right, Jesus Christ. I don't know. Aaron, have you feel my pain around this town?
It's a mess. I'm not out here often. I live in Boston, so... But,
how's Boston looking?
I mean, it's a city, you know? It's a nice-looking city. It's small. It's a lot smaller than New York or L.A. And I go all over the place, too. Not as often as you, but there's a lot nicer places.
Ugh.
I like the people here, you know, and work is here, but...
Not pretty.
Those highways are a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel like when you're coming here, that is sort of your sort of red carpet, you know,
yeah,
when you're visiting, you know, you don't really get necessarily strained to Compton and or Sun Valley proper. You're just going down the highway. Mm-hmm. So it's really as much of it as you can see from the highway, and the highway especially itself is about all you got to keep tabs on, right? Because that's all the guy from Boston is seeing. He's not going and entering everyone's living room. So can we just get that shit together?
Ironically, that in the airport, which is also a mess.
Right. Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah. All right. I just want to know what's going on in L.A. And again, you guys think you know ugly, but I got to tell you, my daughter, when we drove through Sunland and into Sun Valley or into a North Hollywood, scared for her goddamn life and confused.
Yeah.
Like, I had to explain to her, oh, people live here. They live here. Mm-hmm. And this is what this is what they're dealing with. All right, let me put myself in a better mood. LifeLock, man, 1 month since Equifax breach, man. If you're among the millions affected, well, then your info could be out there, and it could have been out there for as long as 3 months. Thieves can buy your info on the dark web and use it to open new accounts, commit crimes, even steal from your 401k. Now it's time to protect with LifeLock. I've got it. You should get it, too. Their proprietary technology detects a wide range of identity threats and will alert you if your info is being used. It's 2017. Why not? You do all that shopping online. You do everything online. You need your identity protected. So if there's a problem, the U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. But you won't have a problem because you're smart and you listen to me. And you sign up for some LifeLock, just a couple bucks a month for a little something called peace of mind. It's LifeLock, Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more threats to your identity. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right, let's do one more.
All right, well, since we've been talking about the mess so much, let's talk about decluttering. So in Sweden, there's a new decluttering trend called Swedish death cleaning. Now, it's the morbid yet practical idea. It's to get rid of all the junk in your home so when you die, your family won't have to deal with all of your stuff.
Yeah.
The person behind the idea is author Margareta Magnusson. She has a book coming out called The Gentle Art of Swedish Death Cleaning.
It's weird that I feel like that part of the world has a slight obsession with death in a weird
cleaning.
Way.
And cleaning.
But in order and death, like these are sort of taking their two loves and putting them together. This sounds like a veiled attempt for all the happily married dads to get rid of the gay porn. So we don't have that weird, uncomfortable sort of casket side discussion, you know.
A little bit of a dog whistle. Everybody clean up your stuff.
Did you find the Colt Roundup underneath this mattress?
Any honcho?
Definitely not.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely want to. You do have to kind of think about it. Like, what is there? Like, because we all have this stuff where you don't want to throw it away, mm-hmm. but maybe you should. I mean, you just kind of like, I remember I had this chick I dated a kajillion years ago. She like sent me a picture in like 1986 of just her like standing in snow with like her top pulled up, but like from far away. It was what it would be considered quaint now.
Aww.
But it was a photo, like a Polaroid or something.
Raging
but it was from, like, far away. And I remember thinking, I can't throw this out.
No, by no means.
But on the other hand, somebody's going to come across it one day, and I don't even know where it is anymore because it just keeps thrown in like one middle envelope and then shuffled into another big Tupperware container or something.
What are you talking about?
But
yeah, pick the worst scenario for how it gets discovered. That's how it's going to be discovered.
Right.
A grandchild is going to, at the age of seven, is going to find that. Mm, yeah. That's what's going to happen.
Maybe I got to go get rid of that. it's a weird way to think. And then it does make you think, like, all the stuff that people, how many people in the last, you can't really go back historically, or you can with letters and things like that, but how many guys were outed posthumously, finding the trunk of gay porn in the cellar? You know, like stuff.
Great Seinfeld episode.
Pretty hard to work around the pile of gay porn that daddy was
letters
keeping.
Letters to the lover.
And- yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not even that. It's just, there's also just the practical side of it, too, that, you know, you spend, what, 80, I don't know what the life expectancy in Sweden is, let's say 90, like, accumulating all that stuff, and then your kids have to take care of it.
That's we've gone through that in our family.
Yeah,
my dad
here.
Has four brothers and sisters, and when our my grandparents died, and my great aunt, it was a full all hands on deck from every corner of the country dealing with this stuff for weeks.
I told that to Brian about his aunt with the scorecards, the giant scorecards that she kept score at every home game, and. You can't throw them away. That's just your aunt's scorecards that she did at the Giants game.
She's a big Giants fan. She kept the scorebook. Like, she kept the book every game. She had season tickets, and she went to every game and kept
the scorebook. For how many
years? I'm gonna roughly say 12 or 15, but a long time.
So there's a lot of material.
Yeah.
You're throwing it away is kind of like saying goodbye, dead aunt. Like, it has no street value whatsoever. You'll never go back and go, hey, well, they're playing the Expos back in the 80s. Let me, your wife's going to want to look something up about the third inning. Like, you can't do anything. What do you do with it?
You say, maybe I'll sell it on eBay someday.
Right.
And that's the excuse for keeping it in a box for another 10 years. And then you die. And your family has to take care of it.
It rolls over.
Right.
Well,
right.
And you know what one solution is? I don't know if someone said it on some show, but if it's your kid's artwork, Adam, or stuff like that, take a picture of it, put it on a thumb drive, and get rid of the actual physical crap.
Now, me and Lynette have a much more calculated and realistic approach to that.
Oh, do tell.
I announce I'm going to take it to the shop and put it in a storage bin. Lynette makes an announcement that she wants to keep that. I do a sing-songy, semi-condescending explanation of, I didn't say I was throwing it away. I said I was taking it to the warehouse. You're there 3 days a week. You can always access it. It's in the storage thing. She then shifts gears and explained that Natalia spent a lot of time putting that elbow macaroni to make Santa's beard.
Right.
I say that still has nothing to do with my plan. She then explains that she wants to display it. I counter with, it's been leaning against the wall in the entry hall for 11 months. Like, if you wanted to put it up, you'd put it up. Then here's where we reach our sort of Middle East, sort of brokered Carter agreement.
Nobody
which
wins.
I'll tell you what. Let's bring it to the garage, put it on the floor there until it gets water damage, and then we'll throw it away 11 months from now. Okay? Okay?
Yeah.
It's not said out loud. It's a tacit agreement. Okay, we'll put it in the garage until it's destroyed by water, and then we can toss it later.
So any luck, rats will get to it sooner. Right. I have to wait for the rainy season.
That's how you get rich. You take the time to have those kinds of detailed discussions in your home. It ain't from writing books, not from doing podcasts, not from making documentaries. It's taking those kind of conversations and making rock soup out. You know, really seeing
macaroni art.
Macaroni art. And just how long and how deep we can dive into this.
I thought that the story was going to head in the direction of the storage unit was like, you know, taking the dog to the farm.
It should be.
There's
the
really
family.
No storage unit.
Should be. And by the way, how is it that we all survived without any remnants? You know what I mean? I don't have any school art from my dad, a couple scattered pictures, but I mean, I don't even have any of my trophies. I don't have any of the stuff of the, I don't have any school assignments. I didn't do any, thankfully, but there is no
proof. Paper trail.
There's no proof of my past, but I'll just forge my own proof with movies and books and things like that.
That's a capital idea.
Yeah, how about we do that?
Okay.
We don't want to live in the past with Santa's beard made of mac and cheese.
And that was Aaron Mankey from Lore sitting in while Adam ranted about Los Angeles. And
yeah, it was one of those ones where there's a little bit of a blow-drying effect where it's like Aaron comments the first time after Adam's done ranting. It's like, Mom and Dad just got done fighting.
Yeah.
Look, people don't know. They're like, no, Adam's cool. He just does that.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you get lucky, I guess is the word. It's good luck. I think it's good luck.
You never know what you're going to get.
All right, before we get going with the next clip, I want to remind everybody about Tommy John. You've had enough to deal with this year. Don't overthink about holiday gifts. All right, just get whoever you're thinking about some Tommy John gear. All right, this year, give the gift of comfort to everyone on your list and get some of that loungewear. Say goodbye to those sweatpants. I mean, get the boxers. Gio loves it. The shirts, everything.
I love the loungewear. Adam loves the loungewear. We're addicted to it. It's the most comfortable stuff you can possibly wear. I wear them for every Cruel Classics intro recording. I love you, Tommy John.
And I love you, too. And if you guys want some Tommy John for yourself or for others, order now. Go to TommyJohn.com/classics for $30 off site-wide and get some last-minute holiday deals for a limited time only. That's $30 off for a limited time at TommyJohn.com/classics. TommyJohn.com/classics. See site for details. All right. We have a special clip coming up for you. This one, a lot of you might not have heard because for a while, every live podcast that we did was put behind a paywall, so you had to be a member of Podcast One Premium to listen to it. Well, we're going to go back.
There aren't a ton.
There aren't a ton.
About a dozen or more, maybe a little bit more than that.
Yeah, but we're going to go back into those archives and play one from 2017.
And new to you, to most of you who weren't Podcast Premium subscribers, and if you're still not, you may want to do that to hear the rest of these episodes, because we're going to be playing basically all of them, or chunks from all of them. And we're starting out with Adam Carolla Show 2190, Gina Grad and Brian Bishop, October of 2017. It was put in the premium feed in November of 2017. They're live from the Tembler Brewing Company in Bakersfield. Adam shares an interesting story about a car and a situation, kind of asked them what they would do. And they participate in a round of Q&As, and it is hilarious. Check it out.
All right, so let me tell you guys something, and you tell me if this has happened to you, and then you tell me if there was some intention behind it, and then you tell me how I should react, or if this guy is in your neighborhood, or what have you. This is the person that doesn't really know what you're thinking and who they are to you, which is to say this. This has happened to me 2 times now, but just recently in my neighborhood. I am walking my 110-pound lab Philly cheesesteak, and I'm taking my dog for a walk. It's a Wednesday. It's 11 in the morning. There's nobody on the streets. It's side streets. It's quiet. There's nothing going on. And I'm walking the dog down the street, and a completely murdered out Dodge Challenger, like black on black with black rims, black chrome, even a black guy driving.
Whoa.
It was that. He was probably white when he bought the car, but they murdered him out. I think they wrapped him, though. I don't think it's permanent.
It's
a lease. Black guy driving, black car, black on black, everything murdered out, exhaust, you know, cat back exhaust system, cold air intake. The thing of walking down the street, there's nobody around, there's no other parked cars, there's no other anything, just walking down the side street. Thing comes rumbling up next to me on the right, I'm walking on the left, stops, while the car's running, guy gets out of car. Large man, 6'4", 6'5", you know, 245, lean, tattoos, muscular, shaved head. And while the car's coming, I'm just standing here. He just stops the car. Like, he's 11 feet away. Comes. He could have stopped 200 feet in front of me. He could have stopped 200 feet behind me. He could have went to the next corner, turned right. Could have anywhere, anything. There's nothing. There's no house. Car running, jumps out of car. Goes around back with car running, pops trunk.
Oh, this is getting way worse.
This isn't good.
I talk a lot of shit about black people and even more shit about Dodge. So I'm not a Mopar man.
Just do the math.
This is lose-lose. The guy's going for, I'm assuming what this guy's going for is a new invention of his called shotgun shuffle.
Yeah, you're hoping it's a shotgun.
It's a shotgun with a shovel head on it, so he can easily bury the victims. Phil, of course, Phil is, you know, Phil wants to lick the back of his knees. Right. And Phil's just standing there. I'm just standing there. And there's
Phil's like, hey, brother.
Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah, hi, paw. So now I have this thing where I'm standing there, and there's only one reason this guy stopped this car right next to me. And then the car's running, and he jumps out of the car, and he pops the trunk. He shuffles around in the trunk. Also an interesting wiring, which is there's a 90% chance I'm going to die, but on the off 10% chance I don't die, I don't want to make an ass of myself.
Like, you don't want to duck.
I don't want to start jogging or backpedaling right. or run to a neighbor and start knocking on the door.
Throw your wallet and run.
I would rather be killed than like embarrassed. Like I really, it's my wiring. Like,
Die with dignity.
I'm going to die with dignity in the street with my dogs. I just stood there, and I just watched him, and he was rattling around in the trunk, and then he slammed the trunk, and he started trotting back around. He jumped in the car and took off. Now, what the fuck was this guy doing? Does he have no situational awareness, which is scared Whitey is walking through Trump country over here, and you just come pulling up and jump out of your car, the guy who... You know, I'm guessing, I'm trying to go, like, who is this guy? I'm guessing mobile MMA trainer. I'm guessing, like, we bring the octagon to you. Right. He shows up and works, you know, holds the focus pads while people kick him and stuff like that. Why right next to me, this the second time it's happened to me in the neighborhood, scares the shit out of me every time. Do you guys do this? Have you had this happen? No? Yes. You had it. Same dude? Different dude.
Close. He was in a Challenger.
Challenger. Yes. Yeah, they're all Challengers. But hey, all I'm...
Can you come up with a plausible explanation?
Was there any eye contact between the two of you?
No. And so here's the question. Some people speculate that he's trying to scare the shit out of me. On the other hand... It's going to take him a long time to get home if this is his M.O. because there's probably some blonde-haired chick, middle-aged, another 100 yards down the road. You got to stop. Every time you see Whitey walking the dog, you got to pull over and jump out of the car and go for the shotgun shovel and then jump back in the car and take over.
You're not the softest target. Like you said, blonde chicks. There's a whole hierarchy above you.
So what is it? What's he doing?
Something rolling around the back of his
truck. Oh, soup cans.
And,
something alive that shouldn't have been?
This is a Progresso issue.
Okay.
But he doesn't know that there's a single person walking the dog. You're just going to slide up behind him, throw a rev, and jump out of the car? Like, why not go 100 feet this way, or better yet, stop 100 feet back? Like, why do you need a witness to this thing that you're doing?
Yeah, the lack of situational awareness is terrifying to us.
All right. We may never know. I just... fucking hate these guys. They scared the shit out of me. Of course, Phil doesn't give a shit. And this guy is the guy I ran into last night. And you tell me if you've run into this guy. This is the guy who stands there and you realize you're on your 57th question about him and he's never fired one back.
Good.
So I come walking into the party. And there's Seth MacFarlane, and he's standing there. He's talking with this sort of distinguished-looking, slightly older guy. And I go, hey, Seth, how you doing? Yeah, I'm doing good, all right. Everything's good, looking good. Congratulations on Orville. I hear it's a big success, blah, blah, blah. Then he goes, well, thank him. This is the director. Turn around. Hey, guy, how you doing? Good. You direct Orville? Yeah, sure. What else you directed? Oh, I directed Star Trek, the First Generation, and Star Trek, the Third Generation, and by the way.
All the generations.
All these shows I couldn't give a shit about, I can't stand, I fucking hate them. All this guy does is direct every TV show I've ever hated my entire life.
You probably shouldn't have mentioned that to his face.
Yeah, you know that snuff film your grandma starred in? I directed that. That was me.
She took direction well.
She was great up until the end. Yeah, sad.
Coachable.
Sad. This guy just drank. And so it's like, oh, so you do Star Trek Next Generation. You do this. I asked him, too. And I started running out of questions. Like, you know, the sticks, when you snap them together, does it have to make such a loud noise? Or can we just, is it a visual thing? Or, and then...
Does the director's chair say director, or does it say your name? I'm always wondering.
At a certain point, though, you stop, and then when you stop, you just stop. Yeah, and you just stand there, and it's like, all right, you just saw me hug it out with Seth MacFarlane, so...
Nothing.
I'm not wearing a tuxedo and carrying a tray. Like, there's got to be some reason I'm here, do you not?
How do you know Seth would be a fine first question?
There would be a fine. You'd make a horrible director of Orville. I just stood there, and he never asked a goddamn question. And then I thought, I probably do that shit all the time.
Yeah, it's called the Corolla. It's the way you learn it.
I pulled it on myself. All right, you have questions, right, yeah. Bald Brian?
I do. Question for the audience. There's no microphone, so I'll read the questions. Where is Mark Hammer from Wayne, Nebraska? Mark
Ooh.
Hammer, there he is.
Hi there.
Hey, how's the Buffalo Burger? I feel like I'm missing out. You know, everyone talking to me about ostrich burger and Buffalo burgers and everyone, gator and all this shit that I don't want to eat. I have a love affair with the cow, and I just keep wandering back to the cow. But every time someone says, oh, no, man, this is ostrich, man, you got to do that.
Mean.
I don't know why. I don't feel like you can do better than a cow burger. But is the Buffalo burger better?
No.
Wife says no.
What's funny is the defense is always, oh, you can barely tell the difference between that and cow. And it's like, is it not as good?
Well,
if
that's
it's not better than cow, then I'm interested.
But that's the other thing, too. Are we out of cows?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Far from it.
You know where I really have trouble making a distinction? Between cow and fucking cow. That's where I can really barely tell the difference. The cow-cow connection.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Wait. I don't know. And also, I feel like the Indians did enough. They used every part of the buffalo.
Yeah.
And I feel like...
We owe the buffalo.
Maybe that's why we were able to beat the Indians in the war, you know what I mean? Maybe they were sitting around going, there's got to be one more thing we could do with this buffalo. And we're like, we invented a gun. Had nothing to do with a buffalo. Yeah. All right, so wait, was it his question?
Yes.
I'll read his question.
All right.
Mark says, they just moved to California from the Midwest, Nebraska, I'm assuming. What is the big touristy thing everyone does that they should avoid? Not what to do, what not to do.
That list is so much longer.
Don't talk to the director of Orville at Seth MacFarlane's party, guys. He's not going to want to know about Buffalo or where you came from. He's only going to talk about himself and Star Trek, The Next Generation. Oh, that's fucking shit. Okay. Do not go to the La Brea Tar Pits. I put it in a movie of mine. It is a pit of used transmission fluid with a styrofoam elephant in it. And McDonald's wrappers.
Yep.
It's a disaster. And it's like, it is literally just tar. It is a pit filled with tar. And then when you go in to the La Brea Tar Pits Museum, all they have is thousands of skulls of wolves that inhabited this area, and then they tell you shit like, you know, 2 million years ago, none of this was here. And I was going to go, you mean the fucking AM/PM wasn't there on the corner? That wasn't there? No, none of it.
Not the Variety Building?
Right, hold on. The Sears building. Now, that's a fucking
that's
old
been for
company.
A long time.
No, this is 5 million. You know, 5 million years ago, nothing was here. Like, they want you to marvel. And then it's like, so you're supposed to have your mind blown because there were wolves on Wilshire Boulevard instead of the Peterson Automotive Museum.
And LACMA.
Yeah, and the LACMA and the styrofoam mastodon and all that shit. So do not go to the La Brea Tar Pits.
And don't forget, it's a real assault on the nose because it smells a lot like sulfur because it's bubbling and it's doing its thing. And don't bring children to it because it's not just a styrofoam elephant. It is a father styrofoam elephant trapped in the tar as the baby elephant tries to reach for him on the land.
That's true.
That's the
true.
Tableau.
But if you want to ride in the fast lane, you can go in to the museum where they have two mop handles with like a plunger at the bottom of it that is actually embedded in tar, and you can see what it feels like because there's no way any of us could ever imagine our wildest dreams what it'd be like to be waist deep in tar. And we would know, is that, would that be like being covered in down
would
feathers?
You float?
Would you float? Would it be a magical experience? Like you literally, you pull on this stick and it feels exactly like what you think it would feel like, which is some shit stuck in tar. That's what it feels like. Yeah, it's like saying you could never imagine what it felt like to have syrup dripped on your arm, could you? And it's like, yeah, I think I can. Yeah,
and I hate it.
I think it'd be sticky. It would probably attract bugs.
Yeah. Don't go to Rodeo Drive.
No.
Rodeo Drive sucks. It's everything. It's much stuff you can't afford. And it's all stores. You could go to other places. This
at the mall.
To be in the same place.
Yeah, in Lincoln.
Rodeo Drive sucks.
Please, for God's sake, don't go to the Walk of Star Fame. It sucks. It's depressing. It's a bunch of Spider-Men in dirty pajamas trying to get you to take a picture with them.
And it's literally,
Spider-Men.
It's a who's who of Hollywood. Who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Like, you're like...
They put the who in who's who.
Who's...
Who's
yeah, you do. Like you walk around and you're like Cedric Buzz Fichtens, choreographer.
It's got
a blimp accident.
It has a gramophone.
Who is this guy? And then it'll get you pissed because you'll see somebody you like. You'll go, okay, now Charles Nelson Reilly, that fucking dude was fine. What's he doing so close to Joanne Worley? She shouldn't even be on the same stretch of pavement as him. This is an outrage.
Yeah. It's true.
Sorry. Don't go there. No. Oh, don't go. I used to live up Beechwood Canyon. Beechwood Canyon goes up to the Hollywood sign, and people don't, I don't know what it is. We, with all the terrorists driving vans through crowds, with all the old people driving trucks and cars through farmers markets, we still don't have a healthy appreciation for the kind of damage 5,000 pounds of galvanized steel can do to you when it runs over you, you know? Yeah. There are people standing in the middle of Beechwood Canyon, mostly Asian folk, with their back turned to the traffic, just getting a shot. And it's also one of those things where if you crop it right, you can do that fucking thing where the person like puts their hand up and it's
like on a platter.
Oh, did you hold up the entire show? Don't go. I think we can all do the math on. Ooh. No, I did not actually hold up the Hollywood sign. Yeah.
Don't go to a TV taping for a show you've never heard of.
No, they will suck you in.
It'll,
they will do
take
everything.
8 hours. Yes. You'll probably never hear of the show or see it. It's probably a pilot. And if you go to a show that's established, it's clockwork. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, and there's no food. A warm-up guy will take a handful of fun-sized Snickers and throw it to you like you're animals. And if you're lucky enough to catch one, that's dinner.
No, Brian is 100% right.
Show's over, everyone. Good night.
If you go to the first taping of Just the 10 of Us, they won't have their shit worked out, and it'll take them 14 hours to shoot a 20-minute sitcom.
Yeah.
If you'll show up, and they'll go like the audience warm-up guy will like run out and go, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we forgot to bring cameras. So if you could just sit here, just sit tight. I got some fun-sized Snickers bars.
Yep.
We're going to go out and rent some cameras. It was just a little oversight. Like, that's what it'll be. If you go to see The Price is Right or something where they crank out three,
well-oiled machines.
They're on their 17,000th episode. Yeah. That shit'll just go right in front of you.
Right.
So go with something you've heard of.
I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention to avoid Venice Beach, especially at sunset.
Yes.
It gets much dirtier.
Yeah, scary.
And you're probably not familiar, but Adam, I'm sure you'll have some thoughts on this. You can go ahead and skip Olvera Street downtown.
Well, listen... You want the real Olvera Street, go to Van Nuys. You'll see more Mexicans than you'll ever see at Olvera Street, and you get a real taste of old Mexico over there. Forget the mariachi band. Forget that. Let's go to real Mexico. Just leave Olvera Street, and you'll be in actual Mexico. It's awesome. I will say this. I tried out for the dating game.
What?
Yes, yes.
Go on.
You want a funny story? So, the dating game. It seemed like you could get some exposure. You could get like. Here's the whole thing. So when I was starting off, you had to get tape of yourself. We need tape of you. You know, we got to get you on tape. That was the whole thing. And so if you did the dating game, they'd have you on tape, doing nothing, but they'd have you on tape. So they said, we're having tryouts for the dating game. So I tried out for the dating game. We all got into a room. There were like 30 guys. And they started asking stupid questions, you know, the segment producer, you know, if I was an ice cream cone, how would you lick me? And all that kind of, you know, stupid
stuff.
Get
that drop.
And I did my thing. And at the end of the whole thing, they said, everyone was great. Everyone was awesome. You guys can all go. We'll contact all of you. There's a couple of problems. I got a couple of problems here with a couple applications.
Paperwork, yeah.
Tom, I need a home address for you. Adam, I don't think I have a work number for you. And Bill, I think I got to get an address for you, too. The rest of you take off and straight out of the paperwork. And everyone got up, and I said, you guys are all losers. She's just keeping us behind because she's the only one. We're the only ones they want. And everyone started laughing, and they all left. And the door shut, and she went, shut the fuck up. That's what I was doing.
Oh.
I was like, I was just kidding.
Yeah,
she's
messing
like,
around.
I was messing around. She's like, no, that's exactly what we're doing. I'm illiterate, so I'm assuming that my application was fucked up. Anyway.
So you paid the ultimate price by not getting to go on the show.
I had a girlfriend at the time had, like, that one over. I'm like, I'm trying to get some tape of myself. She's like, okay. That one over about as good as the time I gave my other girlfriend, let's see, Corey, let's see, who, oh, herpes,
herpes
yeah.
They're saying.
No, but you know, I had sex with a model once who later on, thank you,
no column ace for nothing, guys.
Get ready to applaud again, unprotected sex. And
oh my God, it's exciting.
quite a bit before I met Lynette, and the next day she felt bad and she was like, listen, I gotta tell you, I have herpes. I have genital herpes. And I'm still like, I don't care. I still wanna thank you. Like I'll roll the dice with herpes.
Yeah.
You're a model. I almost never get laid.
Acceptable like, risk.
I'm poor.
Acceptable.
And I drive a pickup truck with no headrest and a bench seat. So
this is as good as it's ever going
to
be.
And if you'd like to have sex again, no question asked. I'm ready to go. I'm ready for round.
Like I didn't hear that.
I'm ready for round two. No, Tori Amos. I had
herpes.
She had her full blown herpes. Spread the word. No, Tori Amos. I was at Kevin and Bean, like my first week or two of actually showing up to Kevin and Bean with Jimmy, the sports guy, Jimmy Kimmel, and everyone else. And Tori Amos showed up, and she has these crazy fans, and they gave her a big bouquet of flowers, and she left. And she left the big bouquet of flowers. And I had a girlfriend I was with who was a huge Tori Amos fan. And this is why women aren't wired correctly. I took the flowers and I brought them to my girlfriend and I said, here's a bouquet of flowers at like 11 in the morning on a Wednesday. And she went, what is this about? And I said, I got you a bouquet of flowers. And she was like, oh my God, thank you very much. And then I said, and guess what? It's going to get better. These are Tori Amos's flowers. And she's like, fuck off, bury them in the backyard.
Now, you essentially
perfectly
just...
Perfectly logical.
Yes, like Jimmy look, Jimmy Kimmel loves Huey Lewis in the news.
Yes, if and he loves six packs of beer.
If you got him a six pack of beer that was meant for Huey Lewis, it would be that much better.
Exactly.
Come on.
You stole old work flowers. That's what she heard.
It's Tori Amos's and you love Tori Amos.
And she loves flowers.
All right, what is the next question?
Where is Bobby Dobrowski? Bobby Dobrowski from Bakersfield.
Over here.
There we go. Bakersfield's own Bobby Dobrowski. Please describe your journey of Porsche ownership. Porsche ownership?
Porsche, yeah.
Porsche ownership. First one bought, fastest, furthest. What's your history with Porsche?
Okay, a bunch of things. First off, the snobs get pissed if you say Porsche. You're supposed to say Porsche. Then I had a German brother-in-law that said, I love, by the way, all you got to do is meet one fucking douchebag from one country and he gets to be the spokesman for everyone in the country. Like, hey, one German guy I know with an accent, what is the rule for Porsche versus Porsche? And then whatever he says, I get to go, hey, German guy told me.
He could be a dummy. You know what I mean? He could be leading down the wrong path.
Yes, he said, It is Porsche when you're in Germany, and then it's Porsche out here if you're not in Germany. And I thought that was acceptable until somebody else said, hey, asshole, it's a guy's name. You don't get to fuck around. Oh. It's not David Hasselhoff out here and David Hasselkoff over there. It's one name. It's a name. It is Porsche. That's his name. So it should be Porsche. I got a lot of range. I got to tell you, I got a lot of range. I was thinking about this earlier today. I bought Paul Newman's 1979 935 Le Mans winning in his class, second overall, Porsche, at auction for $4.8 million. $4.8 million a year ago, a year and a few months ago. Paul Newman's Rolex watch sold with that car next to it in New York because they shipped it out yesterday at an auction all in with the premium and everything, $17.7 million. Dollars
yep. Watch
is what the fucking Rolex sold
is
for.
Any watch really worth it?
Thank you, Mom. I love my mom. My mom's always there. Always great to ruin anything. Does anyone really need a watch? Do you know how many Africans could be shooed for that kind of watch money? And then moving to Africa, she'll do that thing with, she'll ruin any sport. These guys get millions of dollars to stand under the hoop and drop the ball in.
Their underwear.
It's a 7-foot tall man just catches the ball and drops it through a hoop and gets millions of dollars. Do you know what the average school teacher who works with special needs kids gets in Dade County, Florida? Meanwhile, these guys just stand there dropping the ball.
In their sneakers,
yeah. So, but here's the range. I thought the watch sold for almost $18 million. Mm-hmm. I got a $5 million Porsche, and I'm driving to fucking Bakersfield to play a brewery tonight. That's range. Woo! That's a lot of range. I'm keeping it real. That's what I'm saying. So after tonight, I'll get to buy one tire for that car. It's going to be awesome. I like Porsches. Porsches are, I don't know if I was boring you guys with this Porsche talk or not, but all the other race cars, all the other race cars are race cars. You get in the inside, there's sheet metal everywhere, there's buttons for starters, there's a cage, there's everything. Porsche has a dash, and you start it with the key on the left. You start the car with the key. They make it like a car.
A gentleman.
It's weird. Yeah, they try to make it sort of normal. It's a 935. It's got like 700 horsepower or something. It's cool. It's in New York right now. I drove it at Monterey. Everyone told me not to do it. It's too expensive. I said, fuck it. I'm driving it, and I'm a hero, and I did. So thank you, and maybe I'll get other ones. But I don't think I can buy any more Paul Newman shit because now everything is $17.7 million for a watch. Yeah.
All right, next question. Joe Noel. Noel or Noel? Joe Noel from Lompoc, California.
Oh, prison country.
Oh, yeah.
Prison wine country, Gina.
Oh,
no,
sorry.
Prison wine.
Pruno country.
Joe wants to know, what is the worst stretch of freeway in the greater L.A. area? He nominates the 5 between San Diego and L.A., but what do you think?
I am telling you, for sheer depression, like, if you have anyone who's feeling a little bit too good about themselves, maybe they just won the lottery, maybe they recently received a blowjob, and you want to knock them down a couple of notches, you get on that 5. You get on the 5 between where we are in Glendale and, like, Sunland and Sun Valley, California, and you just drive through that stretch of... You know what reminds me? Reminds me of that highway that led into Baghdad, where they had... All of Saddam Hussein's like Republican guard was there, and we got the A-10 Warthogs and just came down with the spent uranium Gatling gun and just started strafing everything, and guys were running out of their jeeps on fire, and shit was blowing up.
Yeah,
always better. You know what's missing from today's wartime? Dead horses was always great. That was the best part about World War One and World War Two. It's like dead mule team, dead horse laying on top of a guy, on top of a jeep. You know, they just strafe everything. That stretch of highway is literally just scorched earth shopping carts. I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like if I owned a supermarket and I had to make an investment in a fleet of shopping carts, I would not be as fast as Luce with the removal of the shopping carts from the premises as we seem to be in SoCal. Like, hey, I got a crazy homeless guy. He just bought a bouillon cube. He's going to walk it back to his apartment in Hollywood now. It's like, not my fucking shopping carts, you're not.
Yeah, those got to be $25, $30 a piece for the good ones.
The big metal ones? Yeah, yeah. Those got to be hundreds of bucks a piece. That ain't cheap. And you know you're in a bad neighborhood when they don't trust you with the shopping cart.
Yep.
Oh, have you ever
been in the store that had the shopping cart with the stick?
Yeah.
The piece of rigid conduit that they duct tape to the thing, so it's like you're going out to the car and the thing pops a wheelie and you're, the fuck is going on? Oh, they don't. That too many people get these shopping carts off and go, I'm going to Mexico. I'm going to take the shopping cart. I'm going to Mexico. I'm going to start a new life.
Or I'm going back. I'm going to resume my old life.
Say goodbye to my wife and kids. Yeah. I'm going to Mexico with this shopping cart. Yeah.
Sometimes you'll see the parking lots that have the yellow outline painted. You know, that's where you can't take the cart past because it'll lock up.
What is the wizardry of that?
I think there is some sort of magnetic strip or something. But can I say this in terms of guys? You tell me. Guys were simultaneously feel sorry for and wildly impressed by guy. Now, here's what I'm saying. You see the guy at the driving range, and he's driving the tractor that's collecting the golf balls. Yeah. You know, that guy's a fucking loser. What'd he do wrong? That guy didn't study. Right. He didn't pass the SATs, whatever it is. Here's the guy who's a simultaneous loser, and you're also wildly impressed. Yeah. Shopping cart collector guy. Shopping cart collector guy with 85 shopping carts.
You're impressed?
Steering from the back.
I know you're,
steering
yeah.
from the back. Yes, that guy's at the Costco.
Yeah.
It's 112.
Right.
It's got quads.
Right.
It's got these jack because he's pushing a shopping cart wagon train. From the caboose.
So my high school job was working in a grocery store, and I would collect the carts. I could never get more than 10 or 12 because if you start going down any kind of grade, those carts can separate.
They separate.
And then what do you do?
Now, right. The guy who has the 86 carts going.
That's a man.
He's going serpentine.
Yep.
This guy is close cousin to the guy who backs out with the trailer on the truck.
That guy's
quickly.
A man too.
Guy just the guy this
confident.
And third and then the other guy I'm impressed with the shopping cart snake guy,
yep.
Young guy, strong guy, determination, out there with purpose, pushing those carts. I always feel sorry for him too. It's like, hey loser, you got some talent here, what are you doing? Guy who backs trailer out quickly, this guy may just use the mirror, he may not even look over his shoulder. Third guy I'm impressed with. Guy who talks with cigarette in his mouth and never touches it. The guy's like he can work on a transmission and talk and smoke.
I feel like that's a bygone talent.
It's a bygone talent. The guy who talks and smokes at the same time, no problem. And every
later, hosen.
Yeah. Every once in a while, then the most talented you could be is the guy who talks, smokes, and pushes the smoke out of his nostrils while he's talking and smoking to you. That guy's a fucking gladiator.
He's black belt.
Yeah, he's going to die in 4 months, but he's a fucking king. He's a gladiator king. Yep. If I saw a guy talking and smoking with a cigarette and pushing the carts, my head would explode.
You'd blow
I'd die
him.
A happy man.
Yeah.
He should be our king.
Yeah. All right. Was there a question?
You got it. Next one's from Jesse Najira of Bakersfield. Jesse, where are you? There you go.
Second row.
Jesse.
Jesse has a good question. What was your first impression of Dr. Drew?
Dr. Drew.
Besides sexy.
Your old friends.
A man of passion, Gina Grad.
Yeah, that's
man
true.
Of,
yeah.
Man of passion. I knew Dr. Drew because I listened to Loveline long before I was on Loveline. I used to listen. I called in Sunday night. I had an old recording of me pranking him, like on a Sunday night when Loveline was just on 10 to midnight Sunday night. I called in, so I listened almost every night. So I was a religious fan, so I knew him extraordinarily well before I even met him. So when I met him, he was just sort of meeting me for the first time. But I knew him well from that point on. Earliest impressions, went to his house. He had his triplets. They were all like 2 years old. They're all naked. And can I say this? You may be comfortable with your kids being naked and running around. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not on any list yet.
Yeah. You'd like to keep it that way.
But it's a little weird.
Yeah.
It's a little weird. And I know you're super cool with it. You're like not uptight with it. But I am. Like, because I must check out junk no matter what. I'm sorry. You have to fucking look down. Is the kid cut? Is he uncut? What's going on there?
I feel like Christy and I are at the perfect spot for that, the centered, I should say, because when Tessa gets loose and she's naked, we're kind of like, oh, look how cute. Quick, get some diapers on her.
Yeah.
Like, we're not like, oh, go free, young one.
No.
Oh, look at
she'll,
that.
She'll shit up the pad. So yes.
Blame it on Charlie.
Dr. Drew's kids were all naked and all climbing up on the back of the sofa and doing, like, headers off the sofa the entire dinner. And I was sitting there completely distracted and worried for the kids. And Drew was like, they're kids. They do what they do. You know, and I was like, no. And I could not finish my meal. That was one of my earliest Dr. Drew impressions.
That's weird because he's such a worrywart. Knowing Dr. Drew and Susan, I can't believe they'd be cool with them just jumping off.
That. But also, Dr. Drew is the worst guy to travel with. I was just looking at a travel itinerary from 1998 where we played every college throughout the land. Dr. Drew, if you told him, I'll meet you in the lobby at 6 a.m., like we would go do the college, do the show, go out. We usually have a drink, go have a steak, have a drink somewhere after the show, and then go back up to our rooms at the Ramada Inn or something, go to bed. Oh, I got a story I got to remind me of. go back to bed. Two things. If he said, I'll meet you in the lobby at 6, we got an 8 a.m. flight out of the airport. If I was in the elevator at 6 a.m. heading to the lobby, my phone would ring. Drew, where are you? It's 6:21, Drew. You can't make that fucking phone call until 2 minutes pass. But that's how anal retentive Drew is. But I thought about this. Imagine this. All these places, two true stories. We used to travel in 1998 when we were playing colleges. We'd go to Northern DeKalb in Illinois and all West Virginia. There was one hotel, and we'd play 3,000-seat venues. So everyone on the campus knew Adam and Dr. Drew had to be staying at the Holiday Inn because that was the only place that we could stay that was close to some of these campuses. We're in the middle of nowhere. I would check in under Jimmy Kimmel's name. Under his name, so I would never be bothered by one. I knew I wouldn't forget it, and I just my travel thing was put my name under Jimmy Kimmel, so the phone wouldn't ring at night. And now, when Jimmy travels, he uses my name, so he won't be bothered by the press and fans and things like that.
He wants to be anonymous.
He wants to be anonymous. But we went to West Virginia. We went to West Virginia. Also, it's weird when you travel, like when you go to West Virginia and you get the 26-year-old kind of hot blonde maid and you like open the door and she's like, oh, can I clean the room? And like, somebody sent up a hooker. And like,
she's my
and you're like, what are you doing? Like, you're supposed to be in your 50s and Guatemalan and wider than you are tall. And they're like, I'm working. And you're like, sweetie, you don't have to do this. You're blonde. What are you doing? She's like, I got to clean. I got to make the bed up. No.
There's a whole world out there.
Yeah, we don't do that. Where? You got to move. So I got back to my room. Okay, here's what happened. I got back to my room in West Virginia. There was a message on the phone. And the message on the phone, and that was always a weird thing. Remember, you'd go to the hotel and there'd be that red light, like Commissioner Gordon was had a thought, you know, and you'd have to go check you or something. And it'd always be nothing. And I checked, and it was some drunk chick, and she was like, "Hey, let's party!" and blah blah blah. And I went to come over, and here's my phone number, and we're at this sorority house, and blah blah blah. And she went on for a while, and I actually wrote the number down,
right.
And then I went to bed. And then it was one of those meet Drew in the lobby at 6 a.m. And I got up at 5:30 in the morning and I called this bitch. And I called her and she, I'll tell you the one thing I miss. I miss the landline because I miss fumbling. Yeah. You know what I mean? That thing where the hand would go out,
the rattling.
Knock it out, and knock things over, and someone have to turn a light on or something. And she was like, hello? And she'd been drinking all night, went to bed an hour and a half earlier, and I was like, hey, it's Adam Carolla. You want a party? We're going to party. And she's like, who? And I'm like, Adam Carolla. And she's like, what do you want? And I'm like, I want a party. We're here to party. And she's like, oh, no, it's too early. Like, it was the greatest phone call I've ever had in my life.
Well done.
Anyway, I went over there, raped her, and then I went, no. Yeah, no.
Applause?
You don't do that. No.
Wow, Bakersfield, we expected more from you.
No, you can't rape without consent, and then I don't think it's even rape anymore. So why even bother? Why even bother?
And that was a special clip live from Bakersfield, California at the Tembler Brewing Company. We have a few more clips from that particular show to get to this weekend, so make sure to stay tuned. But
in that Q&A's portion, Adam makes an extended joke about using every part of the buffalo, and he suggests this hilarious premise. And while I was cutting this episode, I'm like, oh, there's this extra rotten tomato segment. This other part is good. And I was like, what can we do with that? And I was like, use every part of the buffalo.
I love it. Very meta.
It was. It happened while I was editing. It was a really bizarre moment. I was like, Adam's speaking to us.
Well, before we get to that clip, let's go back a few more days before that clip to October 15th of 2017. That's when we recorded it. And Adam, tell some more infamous Mike August stories. I mean, him traveling with Mike August is just a wealth of content. It's just so funny.
Chris, you don't remember these ones?
I don't.
No, wait. We'll talk about it afterward. Okay. So good.
It's funny to be a fly on the wall during these.
Oh, to be anything nearby for these two special ones. This Adam Carolla Show 2180 featuring Adam Hootnick, not in this portion, Gina Grant and Brian Bishop. Adam suggests some more songs for the Toolbox, which is the bit that Mike Dawson does where he talks up a song, much like you would hit the post in radio. It's a specific technique that he's amazing at.
Yeah, hitting
the
post. The Toolbox. And the Toolbox is named from the Tool tune. It's like Mike Dawson's radio station that would play Tool tunes.
Adam Carolla Show 2180, Adam Hootnick, Gina Grant, Brian Bishop. From October 2017... More songs from the Toolbox? Check it out.
Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that you share. I just got back from Nashville and the other place there.
Minneapolis.
Yeah. And hung out with all the couples and father and son last night. Love that. Love that you share. Talk to all the people. Like, I got my dad into it. Now he's a bigger blah, blah, blah. Good to see you, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Too much honey will mess up your tummy.
I had a weird little sort of moment because when you're in loves, the whole world's delicious. Is all right. So let me try to unpack that.
Please.
Gary probably has the commercial. Do you have the commercial with the song? So. I grew up in the valley, and I would see these commercials like, hey, I'm the skipper from Gilligan's Island. Come on out to my crab shack. And I would just watch these commercials and go, because my family's so horrible, I just go like, who could ever possibly afford this luxury? Like, who? Maybe, I guess, someone, if they sold all their belongings and they were riddled with cancer and they had like one last meal. I didn't know that people just went to dinner and stuff. And even this place, it was off the 101 in like Reseda, and you could always see it off the 101 in the San Fernando Valley when you were coming from like, I don't know, Reseda, Canoga Park, whatever, those White Oak, all the sort of West Valley stuff. And it'd be by the side of the freeway. It was basically like a notch and a half up from a Sizzler. It was called Love's, like Love's Steakhouse. It'd be the equivalent to going to an Outback with your family today. Mm. But because it had a sign and roofing and windows and stuff, and a commercial was like, oh my God, who eats there? And it was one of the many places you just drive past.
Put your hands up against the window.
I should have been transported like a porpoise, where they put the blinders on you and someone just keeps spritzing you with water, but see things. You don't want to get agitated.
You wake up at the zoo.
I should have just climbed in the back of my mom's VW Squareback and put like I was being abducted by ISIS or something, and have someone just put blindfold on me and squirt me with water, because it's hot in the San Fernando.
Honey, don't forget your seatbelt, your pillowcase on your head.
Yeah, we just drive up and down like the 101. I go, look at that restaurant. Look at that. Look at that. And you see all the signs. Oh, look, there's an In-N-Out burger. What's that like? You know, this was when you're in love, the whole world's delicious. And it was a Love Steakhouse. Gary, I'm sure this is going to get screwed up somehow, but let's see it. And I'll tell you why.
Do you just want the song?
Let me see the commercial. Well, I looked at this as really high-end, upscale eating for, like, maybe a graduation or bar mitzvah or something. Yeah.
Love's all-rib combination is for rib lovers. They start with super salad and hot bread, then add juicy, slow-cooked beef ribs. Love's famous barbecued beans, corn on the cob covered in butter, then delicious short ribs, a baked potato with real sour cream, and to top everything off, tangy pork ribs.
Wow!
When you're in love, the world's delicious.
Now, my mom was in the kitchen yelling freak out, wearing a Billy Jack hat, and I had a freezer and fridge full of, like, 12 sprouted bread, that you had to cut with a chainsaw.
I was like, not pun intended, how off the menu were ribs
three
ribs.
Strikes. Meat is murder.
Yeah.
Cost money, brought joy.
Yeah, taste delicious.
Strike one, strike two, strike three, and you're out. Like, there was no ribs. Ribs were fun. A little bit expensive, super yummy.
Indicated a good time, celebration.
And indicated community.
Yeah. Oh, no, you were just basically, do we have to sit down and watch Billy Jack or Roots again to explain how ugly this is?
You shut holding up, I'll eat your sprouts.
Yes.
Was this before color correction? Because it didn't look that good.
It didn't matter. Like, it wasn't that good. It was just
ribs on TV.
Yeah.
So I remember the Super Bowl motocross is coming in town and they're having the drag races. They're in Orange County International Raceway and all this kind of stuff. And I just watch all these commercials, but there was no such attendance. Thing as ever going to anything or doing anything. And I was in Nashville this morning.
Oh, wow. You had the Benz.
And
the ribs everywhere.
Oh, did we eat some? I got to tell you, I'm gonna blow everyone's minds in a few seconds, but I woke up in Nashville. I woke up. It's gonna be longer than that. Up at AV Ed's parents' house. Who does all the AV stuff here. His parents are from Nashville, and he's like, "Stay at our parents. My parents were out of town. Stay at their house." So we all stayed there. Went out and did the show in Nashville. It was great. The fans were great. Everything was great. Got done signing and got out of there at like 10:30. Walked and walked and walked and went to a great barbecue place called Martin's. I'll tell you about that in a second. We're looking at a picture of their smoker.
The walls are stained with smoke.
When you lift up the big iron lid, there's a full pig splayed out inside of each one of these smokers we're looking at. But they full pig meat August. Here's the point. I'm staying at his house, and we did the thing we always do, which is go out, do the show, sign the autographs, get out of there about 10:30, and then it's like, hey, we're in Nashville for another 11 hours or 7 hours or something like that. So we go do up the barbecue, and we do
late
it up.
Night.
And by the time we get back to the folks' house, it's about 12:30, and by the time we get into bed, it's about 1 and change. And Mike Lynch is coming with us to the airport, and he's in charge of waking everybody up at 4:45. No, 5:45? No, 4:45. I can't even remember anymore. Either way, zero sleep. Yeah, I think it's 5:45. I think we had to be, that's it. All right, we had to be on the road. He's going to wake everyone up at 5:30. Sorry, went to bed at like 1:30. He's going to wake up at 5:30. We're going to be wheels up. I've got another thing to complain about. Anyway, he this morning, comes into my room at like 5:30 and shakes my leg. And when I pop up, in my head is, when you're in love, the whole world's delicious, which is an interesting
thing. Regional
commercial,
right? This is not a national chain.
I don't know how, Gary, you got to figure out how big and wide Love's ever got to.
Dreaming about it.
But I wasn't dreaming about it. It was a weird thing.
Later.
I wasn't dreaming about it. I was dreaming about something else. I know, because when he hit my foot, I incorporated it into my dream for 2.5 right. seconds of like, oh.
Why is this porn star shaking my foot?
Right, right. And then I got up and I went, you're in love? The whole world's... And so when Dawson just said it, it freaked me out because I didn't do the math.
that Lynch was there.
Lynch fed it to him and I'm totally sleep deprived and we hit the road so early. It was dark and everything else. You know what I like? I'll tell you this. We were... this is all I'm looking for out of this, out of a nation. Really out of a nation. I've been listening to some lectures and guys talk and reasons why, like, Russia doesn't work. Russia's kind of failing. And why is Russia failing? Because it's corrupt. Mm. Like, all these places, these Central American countries, South America, parts of Mexico and stuff, when you're corrupt, nothing works. And the answer is, it's not that nothing works because you're corrupt. It's that nobody starts new businesses.
Nothing can.
Nobody, everyone goes, it's corrupt. I'm not starting a new business. Why should I open a restaurant and like bust my ass when I'm just going to end up having to pay everybody off? So it's not, you think of it as, well, it doesn't work because it's corrupt. It doesn't work because it's a system that prevents any entrepreneurship. Like no one's going, I'm going to Russia. Right. I'm hanging my shingle up. I'm going to El Salvador. I'm going to open that business. Like they don't want to do it because of the corruption, and that stymies everything. It's kind of an interesting thing, like what causes what. But anyway, we're sitting around, and we're in kind of in the sticks outside of Nashville, and we have a 7:05 flight this morning. We want to get to the airport at, 6:05 or whatever that is, and we're about 20 minutes out, and this is Sunday morning. So we're all sitting in AV Ed's house, me, Mike, and Mike, at like midnight going, do we call a cab at 5:30 in the morning? Or like, do we call an Uber at 5:30 in the morning? Or can we call somebody? How do we know the Uber guys coming out to the sticks? Right. Like, we're down a road, and it's Sunday, and we're telling this guy to come here in the dark at 5:30 in the morning. What do we have to wait? What if they go, I'm an hour out, or what? No cabs coming for till 7, or we're going to miss our flight. And anyway, the Love's theme song goes through my mind. Let's see. Suggests Love's were confined to Southern California. It must have got bought up, turned into
Dupars
or Sizzlers or something. But anyway, so, at 5:45, this dude and this new Honda, kind of rednecky, kind of Southern dude, pull up. He's the Uber guy. Just comes in. We all jump in. He's driving us to the airport. Friendly chap telling us he used to live in Van Nuys, California, and blah, blah, blah. Talk to him for a few minutes. And then I say, like, how's it work Sunday? I like getting up early, and I like seeing the sunrise. And which meant tweaker to me.
But he, haven't been asleep yet.
I was like, you weren't so fat. I think you were a tweaker, dude. So, and he's like, I go out and make the rounds. Yeah, I start about 4 a.m. this morning. I like whatever. And I just thought to myself, this is the system I like. Mm-hmm. I don't like the system where the man gets involved and assigns badges to guys with dispatchers who don't go outside of this jurisdiction or won't do that or don't. I just want a dude. We got three dudes. We will pay you to take us to the airport. It's like kind of a fantasy you have that you always there's a part of me sometimes that just like Mike August was like sitting in the seat behind me and the kid was like sitting next to me. And I just thought like I wanted to say to the guy, I'll give you $50. Just go sit in his seat, little less knee room, not in first class, but first, like coach plus, so I want to tell the kid next to me, like, I'll give you $50, just go sit there and Michael come sit here. And then I want the kid to be able to go, I want $75 or no or fine or whatever. Like, I love that. I want to live in that world. Like, right. I want to get to the airport.
I'd love to, but they don't.
Yeah, we can't. Yeah. I mean, we don't because on the tickets printed, it's whatever. Yeah. He was driving this airport, and I think, I love Uber. Like, I love this world. I love this thing where we get to just go, hey, there's a dude in Nashville who wants to be up at 4 a.m. on Sunday driving people around in his Honda, then I will give that guy this much money, and he will take us to the airport. It's just a better world. Yes. Like, yeah. We should be all... And it's also, it's like, hey, that guy, this is unregulated. That guy could kill us all by the side of the river. And it's like, he could. So could the cab driver.
Yep.
So everybody's licensed and bonded or whatever could do whatever, whenever, yep. Number one. But number two, the system kind of keeps things on track. He doesn't get paid if he takes us to the river and kills us. He wants to get paid. I'm assuming...
There goes rating.
I don't feel like we need, like, we don't need Big Brother to keep everyone in line. He wants to get paid. We want to get to the airport. I think it's going to work.
Yeah.
And has it ever really not worked? Like, that just general dynamic. Like, you want this. Right. I want that. I'll give you this. Oh, by the way, after I get to the airport, that's when you get paid, not before.
You'll take the infinitesimal chance that he's an axe wielding psycho. Look, every aspect of your life, like every
every place you go,
you take that infinitesimal chance that okay, this person could murder me, but there's a very, very, very small chance.
I'll just make it to the airport.
Yeah.
So we
got to get the flight.
We went out to a famous barbecue place called Martin's and had the best brisket I've ever had in my life.
Wow, you're declaring it the best.
The best brisket. Everything was good, but the brisket just melted on your tongue.
Because this was Tennessee brisket, was it more tangy, vinegary? That's kind of the thing, right?
It had a dry rub, and it literally did not require sauce. It had a high fat content and just melted on your tongue. It was awesome. I went in the same day. I went to Polish food with Kramer Chucks in Minneapolis.
Wow!
At 10:30 in the morning,
little jet setter,
and then ate at Nashville that night. All I had to do was stuff in a 90-minute show.
How do you not have Crohn's disease? Like, no problems.
Give it
goat stomach.
According to Wikipedia, he does.
Oh yeah.
What?
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
I read that there once, or somebody told me that.
My stomach. I'd be in the hospital if I had Polish food and then flew and had barbecue at midnight.
I don't. I'm trying to think. Let's break this down. I don't have anything to do with my stomach. There's no way meat makes me feel or chocolate makes me feel. There's nothing that anything does to me. Ugh. Now, that being said, I can definitely feel the difference between having ribs and salad in terms of, you know, the roughage, kind of just a pure sort of biological, mechanical, whatever of it. But
no ailments come along
in terms of what stuff, like when people go like, oh, dude, eating the cheese, man, that's going to back you up. No, I can eat as much cheese I want. Or they go, oh, Mexican, man, you're going to be on the pot. I have nothing. I never have.
Superpower.
But I also have no energy with anything. It's just give it to me. I'll eat it. I'll go to bed and I'll take a dump when I get up. Ed's parents' bed. Yes.
Take a dump there. You're basically just saying you're not Jewish.
Yes, I am. I here's my question. There are obviously some correlation between the head and the stomach. And there are, of course, there's legitimate people that are like, Natalia has an Asian friend that if she gets stung by a bee, will just go into anaphylactic shock. She's not faking it. She's not a head case. It's not psychosomatic. Also, she can't eat like soy or dairy or something. She'll start ballooning up. So if you kind of carve out the legitimate,
allergy.
Just can't do this, allergic to nuts and whatever, breakout and hives, you carve that out. What percentage of people who say, like, oh, I can't eat, I'm going to bed in like 2 hours, I can't have a steak, you know, I'll be whatever, who making all the proclamations, are biologically different than me and Mike August? Or there's some sort of head space right. pushing They've this to something. Because Mike August, his dad's a football coach. That's all you need to know. He grew up in Louisiana and Denver. His dad coached football. He played football. And therefore, there's nothing he'll eat and go to bed. And he has no complaints. He has no anything. He'll never tell you how he's feeling. He'll never tell you he's tired. He doesn't have any, I can't do this or I don't do that. He has no rules right. whatsoever. I don't either. That's why he's easy to travel with. But how much does the head play into the heart burn?
Well, I wonder if I think this is the same thing, but maybe you feel it. Everyone feels it to a degree, but everyone else is just way more sensitive to it. Like you're like, oh, I mean, like you said, I know I have a steak in me, but some people that is just too much to deal with. It's just way too sensitive to that.
Is it a self-fulfilling prophecy, yes. too? Like, you're like, I know this is going to do this to me. Thus, when it happens, it's confirmed what I suspect will happen.
Well especially if you get nervous about it and your stomach's all messed up. To a
state. It's also just years of being that way or being the way Mike August is, which is whatever. Like, at the end of the bar, at the end of the... So, you know, you're sitting there and it's 11:30 at night, and Mike is taking all the scraps from all the sides with the elbow macaroni and the coleslaw and the beans and everything and parts of chicken that weren't eaten and stuff, and he's just dumping it all on his plate, and he's spooning the whole thing into his mouth, and he's polishing everything off, and then I see him standing in Ed's parents' kitchen at 5:45 in the morning. He's just standing there. He's not like, oh, man, I overdid it, or oh, boy. He doesn't yawn. He doesn't blink. He doesn't eat a cup of coffee. He doesn't even do the, oh, Jesus Christ, man, that's a tight one. He just gets in the car and leaves. I think it's a mind. I feel like for him, it's a mindset.
That's great. I want to be more like that.
Yeah. It's all good. Aspire. Yeah.
Just, you can start.
Just be it.
No, I do it. But people say to me, don't shake my hand. I'm sick. Yeah, I go, put her there. And they go, don't shake my hand. I say, we're shaking.
Like, oh, my hand.
Stop rubbing it on your nutsack. So, get in that mindset. Hopefully it'll work. All right. We got Rotten Tomatoes to play. Dawson's going to talk up a song. Such a big hit, by the way. And people are so impressed. We're going to Dawson's toolbox. Now, Dawson, you're poised behind the microphone.
I'm ready.
And the song is going to be unveiled on you, yes?
Mm-hmm. I have no idea what it is.
All right, who's going to drop that needle?
I'll drop the song. I chose this one because a lot of requests on Twitter, by the way, but also people wondering, is this in fact a tool tune? I struggle with this one, so let's hear Dawson intro it.
As we kick off another set here in the toolbox, remember, weekday mornings, listen for the phrase that pays every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Then we're going to call you. If we call you up and you give us the phrase that pays, you're going to win $100, my friends. That's right. I hate this song.
This song is such a tool tune.
It's a tool tune.
Of course.
It straddles the line between tool tune and guilty pleasure.
Oh, Dawson's pissed. He doesn't know this song.
I know this song,
but I've had the incredible fortune of never having to play it on the radio.
Oh, lucky you.
Dawson would never go near this.
Is this the Escape Club?
Yes, oh, don't act like it don't count.
This is the song we were talking about in the hallway, which even makes it more double down confusing, right?
I don't know. Dawson's disgusted.
Should we go again?
You didn't think you were getting this song?
I thought I wasn't supposed to know what the song was, so I didn't think there was a way that that one would come up because we had just spoken about it. But
which is why I thought it was a clever choice, but Adam brought it up off the air.
A lot of confusion around this song.
I'm disappointed in myself.
All right, we'll pick another tool tune. You'll get back on that horse. Let's get another tool tune. Can I tell you, what year did that song come down? Well, you can just pick out. Now, why don't we do this, Brian? Mm-hmm. Let's give Dawson like a mercy fuck here and get his confidence back. Okay, you know, pick something from something that Dawson that you know he would have spun quite a few times as a DJ. Okay. And can I tell you, Gary, what year did that Wild Wild West song? Because I remember exactly where I was, not the first time I heard that song, but when that song was super popular. Like, I was driving in my Nissan pickup truck back from Canoga Park, where I worked at Tom Johnson's. He had a cabinet shop, and I was living in like North Hollywood. And I had no air conditioning, like a bench seat and everything. And I was just, I'd work in his cabinet shop. We'd work building in Canoga Park like all day, and then get in this pile of shit pickup truck and drive on the 118 back to the San Fernando Valley. It must have been like 85, 6? 88. 88. Oh, 88. See, where is it? Yeah, I was driving back, and that song came on, and it was a Friday, and I was sort of in a good mood, because when you work blue collar, like, Friday is always good mood. Like,
right.
After work Friday, it's like the best mood you'll ever be. It's like 5:30 on Friday. It starts to wane as you get toward the Monday morning. But I remember hearing that song, and I remember thinking, I didn't think Tool tune. I just went, this song's retarded, but I'm not turning it off.
Listen
to songs, getting songs ready.
Don't you get Escape Club and Go West and Fine Young Cannibals mixed up?
Well, Go West should have done this song.
Yeah, Wild Wild West. That would have been very appropriate. Yeah.
All right, do you have one that Dawson can talk up?
Are you ready, Dawson?
Yeah. We're inside the toolbox, my friends. Welcome to another set, commercial free for about 40 minutes. Hanging out in the toolbox with you, my name is Dawson, and coming up at 4 o'clock, remember, it's the 4 o'clock foreplay, where I'm going to give you four songs. New York, you say
everything they say.
Again, I'm disappointed in myself.
Wait, right. We're going to spend the rest of our lives chasing that dragon, Dawson, because that was perfection, so don't be that hard on yourself.
I felt like it worked out fine, but it was a little premature.
But that's what I mean. The first time you did it the other day, perfection.
Oh, I see. All right. Now, here's the problem. We don't have classic rock in the Tool Tune department.
Are you kidding?
There's some bleed over.
All right. Well,
not Led Zeppelin or something. Well, like that.
See if you can get.
Hold on, Brian. I'll give you a list.
Did you spin that Huey Lewis song many times
on my most recent station? Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I should have gotten that one.
All right.
But that I believe is a radio edit.
It starts off
because there is a much longer intro to that song. That song has about a minute and a half in front of it.
All right. Let's throw him some. See if you can go classic rock Tool Tune.
Welcome to another set, commercial free, right here in the toolbox, my friends. Here's a duo that can sometimes be mistaken for a breakfast cereal. That's right, Hall and Oat brand. Daryl Hall used to have a fantasy and a fascination with the occult, my friends. Did you know that he believed that Aleister Crowley was very much like him in his younger life? Saxophone, a good thing here on the toolbox. One of the most underused instruments. Let's see how it go with Daryl Hall and John Oates. What's happening, folks?
There he is. He's back, everybody.
He's back.
By the way, Brian, you know I love you. You're one of the smartest people I know. I'm not sure.
Right,
you know what a classic rock song is.
No, I absolutely know a classic rock song, but there's not a lot of classic rock Tool tunes.
I'll email you a list.
Okay. All right. What?
I said, I don't think there's classic rock Tool tunes, and you said, there's some crossover.
There's a little bleed over, but it's going to be hard to sort of, you know, think of like Led Zeppelin and the Who and the Beatles and the Stones.
I'll help you out. I listen to it every day.
Okay.
All right.
There are a few Stones Tool tunes.
Oh, yes, there are.
Oh, really?
My God.
Oh.
Everything from Heart in the 1980s is a Tool tune.
Absolutely. Jefferson Airplane.
Not a Tool tune.
What?
No, just a bad song.
Working on another set of the hits here inside the toolbox. Time for a little falsetto mix. Mick Jagger, way up high. Squeeze him for me, baby.
Uh-oh.
We're going to take the ninth caller right now for a pair of tickets.
You guys got to watch Dawson move. That's the best part.
Yeah.
All right, Dawson.
I'll take it up for now.
No, here's what I want.
All right.
I want you to... I don't know why you have to guess what song. It's too difficult. You tell Gary two songs that you would like to talk up, that you know well, that you feel... This is me buying my son a whore on his 16th birthday. Like, I want his confidence. He's never going to the prom. Tired of him beating off. It's costing me... The water bill's going through the roof.
What are you talking about?
You tell me... You tell Gary what you want. I want the song that you've picked out to do this. You want to try one, Dawson? You got one?
Yeah, I got one.
Okay. Let's do this.
Gary's pulling it up. Still incredibly disappointed in myself.
No, no. Not after this. Not after this.
It's like cornerback. You have a short memory.
Yeah, you got to have a short memory. Out there on Dawson Island. All right. We could have never foreseen this coming.
Welcome to the toolbox, my friends. We're kicking off another set commercial-free on the station that pays you to listen with the phrase that pays every weekday morning. Right now, it's the Wilson Sisters as we continue.
I've been nice.
Solid.
You know what you did there? You choked up, you made contact, and you just legged out a single. It was not an error. You choked up, you made contact. You were in a slump. You were swinging some bad pitches.
Choke up.
You weren't taking good looks up there. And it's, I think moving you from the four slot to the eight slot probably took some of the pressure off you. And you just slid up that bat a little. And you just did it like a good Chinese gal playing softball. Just boom. You started running to first before you finished a swing.
Thanks, boss.
I like that, man. And you got a little Texas leaguer. And now you're standing on first. A couple more of those drag bunts. We're going to slide down that bat, grab some pan tar. See if we can light up that scoreboard, yeah? This is Tool Tune.
Heart dove in deep into the deep end of the Tool Tune pool in the 80s.
It's one of my favorite songs ever.
I got to tell you, I love some of these Heart 80s songs.
I got a similar one. If you want to try it again, I think I got one. That actually came up on Twitter again. Someone said, how about this? I'm like, this whole band's catalog is just Tool Tune perfect. So, Dawson, you ready? You've done this one before.
So remember today, my friends, coming up at 6 p.m. We got another hour commercial free to get you home. Right now, somebody got a synthesizer for Christmas. That's right, friends.
The pitcher didn't have to underhand it to first base. He chose to throw over the top. Huh? Five?
It's apropos of what we're talking about.
All right.
Oh.
Hey, Corey, 31, Alabama.
Hey, how's it going, Ace?
Mm-hmm.
Bald.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the podcast. I've been listening for a while now. I got to say, of all the ones I listen to, this is the only one I constantly wish I could be sitting in and be part of the conversation.
Well,
now's your chance.
Give Mike August 10 grand. Come out here. Give your company a plug. Thanks, Corey. I love that. I love seeing everybody when we travel, and I love how people know everybody. And you know, it's when they catch me off guard every once in a while. I go, "How's Sonny doing?" or something. I go, "How are you?"
They're
like, "Oh, come on, I'm a fan." So, thanks, Corey. What do you do in Alabama?
I'm a machinist.
Yeah. What do you get an hour for? What stuff are you working on first?
Well, the company I work for, we make high pressure fittings. Most of our products we use are used on oil rigs.
I like that.
I love getting steak with all the fittings.
Fittings and oil.
Yep. Yeah. Supporting the oil industry. And you making a decent living for your family?
Yeah, I've been there about 3 years and worked my way up to about $18.50 an hour.
The machining, the guys who can weld and machine and do that stuff, fabricate, always in demand. Like just always busy. Like just like a good straight ahead carpenter, just always going to be working. All right, you got a Tool Tune for us, Corey?
Yeah, I wanted to see what you guys thought about the song Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls.
I got to hear it to remember.
Oh, please. Corey, did you tweet me this weekend?
I might have tweeted somebody.
Because someone asked specifically about this song, and this is a song when this comes on the radio, I'm like, this friggin' song again.
Oh, the don't
by,
want
by
the
3 minutes,
world.
By 3 minutes in, I'm like,
and I don't want the world.
Yeah,
well, the reason I asked,
I don't. We gotta start. We gotta start a second category, which is like self-important songs.
Sanctimonious.
Oh, this is
sanctimonious.
The Tears for Fears songs, where they start with, you know, and they start talking about like Tears for Fears has a bunch of sanctimonious, self-important songs. It's aware of themselves song.
put your lighter away.
Why is this song called Iris?
I think he wrote about a girl in Iris.
Yeah, it's tough.
Wrote for the movie City of Angels. Not Wow. I just want
you to know who I am. Let's take a vote. Dawson Tool Tune?
Yeah, it's a really good song, but you'd want to roll up the windows.
I'm trying to think.
You keep those windows down for Iris?
No, it's a good song. I don't like it, but it's a good song because I just feel like I don't like it. It's like there's nothing better than like when a five-year-old comes in on Thanksgiving and all the folks are sitting around the table having a drink and they say something ironic and funny and the entire table busts up laughing and it's so great. And then the same kid comes back 2 minutes later for like a second helping of comedy and it's like now you know they're aware of them. Like
the magic's gone.
You know what they're doing now?
There's a whole Simpsons episode about that.
Oh, is there?
Like Bart had a catchphrase, became famous for it. He started going to talk shows, and people got tired of it after a while.
Yeah, I feel once the kid's aware, the whole naivete part, I don't know why, but when I hear a song where I feel like someone's like, this is going to be good, I get that feeling.
You know the song that just popped into my mind? Like that sanctimonious, Runaway Train.
Oh, yeah.
Is that going in that category?
Good song, same thing, yeah. Like, I want to sit down and write something important. I don't know why. It doesn't really fit Tool Tune, but I wouldn't argue with someone who said it was.
I'll let the song answer for me. And I don't want
to see me. Ryan says yes. Gina, what do you got?
This is 100% windows go up, and I would not turn it off.
Well, Tool Tune. That's Tool Tune. All right, I'm outvoted. All right, Corey, it's a Tool Tune.
Okay, well, because the reason I ask is because I was driving down the road yesterday, and I pulled up to a red light behind a guy on a big cruiser motorcycle with one of those really loud sound systems blaring this song.
This song? That's off a motorcycle. That's brazen.
In Alabama.
Wow.
Yeah, those have to be loud so you can hear it going down the road.
In Alabama?
Back and forth.
You get dragged behind a truck for that.
We're better than people think down here.
I know.
What do you mean, you people?
What are mics? Mike's great. And
I don't want the world. I wish you would come down here and do a show.
Oh, yes. Birmingham show.
Thank you, Corey. Noted. Sitting next to Mike August with a couple of like local gals, like Ed's high school friends. Mm-hmm. And Mike had to keep making these lynching jokes. Like, I know you guys are famous for lynching down here. And the person who had a lot of civic pride was not.
Oh, man.
You know the 40, you know the 40-year-old chick who doesn't know how to process humor?
Was Mike joking?
Yes, Mike was Mike was joking, and the chick just kept going, we don't do that. We never have, you know. And Mike was like, yeah, I know. You got tired from lynching, so you took a break, you know. And they're like, we do not. We don't. Like, you could, you know, it's like your wife's friend who doesn't have a sense of humor. When you're a kid, it was your mom's friend who didn't have a sense of humor. And they, even if it didn't matter what you said, they'd go like, I know you're kidding, but you need to stop saying
that's
like,
not funny.
Who that person was that needed you to stop saying something. I don't know why you need, who is that person that needs to tell that person they have to stop? But she had a lot of civic pride, you know?
Yeah.
And Mike, like, in between, you know, every, like, rib and a half, he'd go back and revisit lynching.
Yeah, isn't the onus kind of on both of them on this one?
I was just like, would you shut up and let me enjoy my goddamn barbecue here, Mike, and stop getting in being a bee in her bonnet? He's sitting right next to you. Couldn't stop bringing it up. Yes, like, who... She could have known he was screwing around, but I think she probably feels like we're from California and she's a little sensitive and she doesn't want us all think that that's what they do over, that's their history or, you know, things are a little sensitive right now. He could have just shut up to keep visiting that. The slightly more comfortable, I must say, than the time we went out to lunch with Jimmy's friend, Gary, who's a radio consultant and has been doing it for 30 years. We're about the third time Mike said this sentence, terrestrial radio is dead. It's dead. Like at a certain point, I had to stop and go, Mike, that's what he does for a living. He consults radio stations. So please, this is getting, we're not I can't enjoy my kebabs right. if you keep saying that out loud to the person who just said it. And by the way, if he owns a chain of dry cleaning cleaners and you keep yelling dry cleaning is dead, I would say the same thing. Or had a broasting joint and you said nobody eats chicken anymore. Like, it's uncomfortable.
Yes.
I believe I got that statement instead of congratulations when I got my morning show job. From Mike August. In the car.
Instead
with
of
you.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Terrestrial Radio's dead. Enjoy your new gig.
That clip from 2017. I think we just need to get a large plastic foot to just shove in a Mike August mouth whenever we go on the road.
He's pretty good at doing it himself, but he doesn't seem to care. And I love how frustrated Adam gets, but I also love that he's like half smiling when he describes the instances. And I also appreciate the fact that I guess you weren't there in person for these stories, but then you heard them live on the episode, which is hilarious to me because you've traveled so much with them. It's surprising when something can happen that even is surprising to you.
And what's most surprising is Mike has zero shame or embarrassment. Like, that just isn't part of his being, so he never feels embarrassed.
If it ever was part of it, it was removed quite early.
Yeah.
Right, having a coach as a dad is probably part of that.
Oh, I need a palate cleanser. Let's play some Rotten Tomatoes game, but this one, we're going out of order. We've been playing them sequentially the last few months, but we actually played one at the live show at Tembler Brewing in Bakersfield, so why don't we just play that one?
It proves to be a very important game in the history of the Rotten Tomatoes franchise, and most people have probably never heard this, and I can't spoil anything that happens. I just want you guys to check it out. Adam Carolla Show 2190, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop, that same premium episode from Bakersfield, the Rotten Tomatoes game. It's an out-of-sequence, as-yet-uncharted installment. Let's find out what happens.
All right, we going to play a little Rotten Tomatoes game?
Yeah,
let's do that.
Guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If the guessing is up, we'll get a bonus five.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
So Gary gave me a good note. He said that we have some new listeners here potentially tonight. Maybe explain how the game works.
Sure. The Rotten Tomatoes game is a game that we invented some years back on the terrestrial radio show, which is we will call the movie, and then we will guess what the Rotten Tomatoes score, and that's just an aggregator of all the critics and all on the website. It'll have an average score, and we'll try to guess what that score is.
Closest.
And if you get it on the nose, you get a 5-point deduction. It's like golf. The lowest score will win. We'll do 5 movies, and we have a theme. What's the theme, Dawson?
The theme tonight is George Clooney movies.
All right.
Because the movie Suburbicon, directed by George Clooney, is out this weekend. So here we go.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you guys ever feel this way? I feel this way about George Clooney. I met him a couple times over at Kimmel's house. Every once in a while, it works this way with a super hot chick. They go way out of their way to be extra cool.
I hate that.
Because they know we don't think good-looking people should be cool or nice.
Nice,
and
yeah.
So when you tell a story about Charlize Theron or George Clooney, you always go, he's a totally cool guy. Like, he was totally cool. He totally, like, I saw him. He's like, hey, Adam, how are you? And I was like, hey, George, how are you doing? Totally cool. And so our thing is, like, if you're good looking, I should come up to you and you should go, hey, douche, go fuck yourself. And get me another cold one, you little prick. Like, for some reason, you're supposed to be a douche, and so if you act totally cool, everyone makes a big deal about it.
Yeah.
Nobody ever says that about, like, the fat guy from Seinfeld. Hey, I met that guy Newman.
Wayne
Knight? Cool. He was so nice. He was totally cool. He was like a regular dude. He was like us. He was like one of us. No one does that about ugly people, right? Like, they don't do that about fat chicks or anything. No?
Certain corporations, like car companies, will have influencers, right? Like, people they know that, like, other car buyers listen to, and they'll, like, treat them nice, give them good cars and stuff like that. Like, is there a chance that Clooney's savvy enough? He goes, Adam has a popular podcast. He's going to put the word out that if I'm cool or not, extra cool.
No, I wish he knew that. I think he's genuinely a nice guy, but I think those people get a kick out of having you tell stories about how friendly they are. I think Leno has that, not in the looks department, but he loves just to... No, what I'm saying, like, if you walk around with Leno, he'll, like... I was walking through Laguna Seca racetrack with Leno. There was a woman walking in front of us holding a pizza, and Jay, like, tapped her on the shoulder, and she was like, huh? And he's like, could I have a slice of that? And they were like, what? Oh, it's Jay Leno. And it's like, now they have a story. I think he does that.
Do you think the whole spectrum is Clooney to Weinstein when it comes to wielding your power?
Yeah. I don't know. And what happens with Weinstein when he checks into the room? Does he have to call back to the desk and order a ficus plan?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. Could I get a ficus? Actually, I need two. I need one for the shower.
Yeah.
Clooney will bring one as a welcome gift, and Weinstein will ejaculate into it.
Could there be... You crossed the line, Gina.
Gina.
Is there
The good people of Bakersfield paid good money to come...
They're virgin ears, I know.
Is there anything worse than the top quarter inch of soil at a potted plant at a bar?
Oh, no.
No, right?
Don't touch
it. All it can be is... Your best case scenario is a cigarette butt. That's your best.
Ash is your best case scenario.
Maybe a gum wrapper.
Cigarette butts, vomit, occasional tampon. It's a little...
Poured out beer is your next best.
Yeah, next best. All right, let's play the game, Dawson. Sorry.
All right, our first movie, where Ewan McGregor plays a struggling recorder. He gets the scoop of a lifetime. I said recorder. I meant reporter.
Reporter.
He gets the scoop of a lifetime when he meets Lynn Cassidy, played by George Clooney, who claims to be from a unit of psychic soldiers who have been reactivated for duty. In 2009's The Men Who Stare at Goats.
I never saw this. I saw the commercials for it. It seemed a little weird to me.
It is weird.
You saw it?
Yeah, it's goofy.
It's goofy.
It's odd. It's quirky.
Okay. I'm going to say the critics didn't like it. They didn't love it, but they didn't hate it because it was quirky and weird and different enough. I'm going to say 67%.
I'm very close. I think they wanted to love it and just couldn't. I said 70.
I am probably tanking this. It looked horrible, and I'm saying 48.
48.
The Men Who Stare at Goats is rotten at 52%.
All right, just rotten. All right, we're all still in this. 60 is the Mason-Dixon line of rotten. So if it's 60, it's fresh. If it's 59, it's rotten.
And when we say 60 or any number, that is the percentage of critics who gave it a positive review.
Thank you, Brian.
Next up, during World War II, the Nazis steal countless pieces of art and hide them away. Some over-the-hill art scholars, historians, and architects, and other experts team up to form a unit to track down these stolen pieces. Clooney plays Lieutenant Frank Stokes in 2014's The Monument Men. I'm sorry, The Monuments Men.
I never bothered to see it.
No, I decided not to see this movie because I decided they thought of the title of the movie before they dreamt up the movie, much like the movie Face Off. I think somebody came up with the title, and then they built the movie around it. Yeah. Yes, I have a handful of these movies where I'm positive they came up with the title first.
I think it was supposed to be Oscar bait. I don't think it went anywhere.
No, they didn't love it, and for that, I say 44%.
50.
46.
The Monuments Man is rotten at 30%.
Yeah. Oh, okay, all right.
Rough
for
George.
You guys playing at home? I mean, while you're not at home?
I have sunk to dead last.
You know I'll always fuck it up at the end.
Next movie.
Next up, a movie that deals with a dubious merger of oil companies. Also starring Matt Damon and Jeffrey Wright, George Clooney plays CIA officer Bob Barnes in 2005's Syriana.
Ooh.
God, these are the rough ones.
Put on some weight for this role.
Yeah, did not see Syriana. Heard it was good. Don't know. Not a favorite amongst Bakersfieldians. I'm going to say that they kind of liked it, the theme. And, you know, the theme was good and everything. 78%.
72.
Also 78. I think we're supposed to say we saw it and we liked it.
Well, you guys are on the right track. Syriana is certified fresh at 73%.
Oh.
We'll take it. We'll take it.
Needed that.
All right. It's a close game, people, as we head into the championship round.
Not for Brian.
In our next awesome movie, George Clooney plays a doctor that replaces a child's heart with a baked potato.
Huh?
South yes. Park.
Oh, South yes. Park.
And I believe it's 1999. South Park, bigger, longer, uncut.
God, this was good.
Oh, boy. Let's see.
This Let's should be 101%.
Agreed.
All right. I didn't know that Clooney was in this.
Did you see this?
I'm sure I did.
It's a wonderful film.
And I will say 81, you people say? I don't know. It's pretty violent.
Price is Right style.
I like this crowdsourcing your score.
I'm going to go, listen, when a guy in a trucker's hat gives you information, you listen. It could be on the stock market. It could be in Rotten Tomatoes game. But you take that morsel and you fucking run with it. You understand? How stupid are we, by the way, that we sell hats that are fucked up in the factory? Like, hey, I'd love to find somebody from some impoverished African nation, explain to them, no, this hat costs $4 more because it was fucked up.
It's pre-stressed.
It is ruined.
Yeah,
it is
these ruined. Jeans with all the, look like I was attacked by a lion.
You
in
must
these
throw
jeans.
Them away now.
Yeah, I was no, attacked no. by a
this
lion.
This is extra. It costs extra. Yeah. You said 81? 81. We think it's higher. We think it's higher, but 89. 89%.
87.
Also have 89.
South Park, bigger, longer, and uncut, is certified fresh at 81%.
Oh, God damn it.
God damn it. 81, he said, and I was going to go with it, but I thought, no.
You didn't take your own advice about the dude with the trucker hat.
But it's like, I was like, this dude is salt of the earth. He's from
dude,
Bakersfield.
Did you not notice the unbuttoned flannel shirt? What are you
He's
thinking?
He's got an unbuttoned flannel shirt.
What are you
this
thinking,
guy's
man?
Going. But then I reflected. I thought, no, wait a minute. I'm intellectually far superior than him. I'm sure he has little to no education. I'm sure he's struggling with some sort of methadone addiction. And obviously he's chosen to raise a family in Bakersfield. So strike one and two. And why am I listening? Who's on stage and who's out in the audience? And who bought the Porsche and who had the Newman watch? And I thought, wait a second. I got to go with my instincts. And I acknowledge... And then let me say, I don't want to politicize everything, but this is a common working man over here. This guy, he goes to work at the factory where they make shit for farms, and what do you do? Give me a salt of the earth job. He was an oil field worker.
Yeah,
there
he is,
now.
Everybody. Give it up.
He's a leatherneck. This guy knows. What was the movie with Bruce Willis? Armageddon. That's Armageddon. These
the
are guys.
Movie. The movie.
The
film with
the
Bruce
film.
Willis.
This guy's the best, man. He's the guy who's up there. He's pulling those things out.
That's
He's
right.
covered with stuff. He's wearing his hard hat into the bar.
Yeah. He's the best
he's
driller.
Doing the commercial at the end. He's one of the best drillers out there, but he's a maverick. He's an outlaw.
That's
he
right.
plays by his own rules.
plays
by his own rules, this guy. And when he says 81%, you fucking listen, because he's a common man. And he's got his finger on the pulse of these movies, and I ignored it, and that's my bad. And I'm going to have to live with that. I like when people explain that. I'm going to have to go. You know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to live with that. I'm going to have to go back to L.A. I'm going to have to go and get into that $5 million 935 Porsche and get behind the wheel and go rum, rum, rum. But I'm going to be living with this shit. I'm going to be living with this shit. I'll be living. I'm going to go home and watch a 70-inch plasma TV and then beat off into the sink. But I'm going to be living.
Yeah.
I got to live with that. I got to live with that. I got to live with that. I'm going to drink a little high-end rye when I get home, too. But I'll be living. I'll be living with this decision for the rest of
every
my
day.
Life.
It's going to haunt you.
And it's going to haunt me for the rest of my life. Uh-huh. I've already forgotten about it. What happened?
Our last movie.
South Park was 81.
81.
All right, our final movie is based on a classic science fiction novel by Stanislaw Lem that I would wager a week's pay that no one in this room read. George Clooney stars as a psychologist sent to investigate unexplained behavior of key scientists on a space station orbiting the planet Solaris. The movie from 2002 by the same name, Solaris.
I have zero recollection of this movie.
Yeah, most people do.
I owned a Toyota Solaris, so I know.
So you have an advantage.
I have unique insights into this movie.
What year?
I could never... No,
2002.
No, I drive 935 Porsches. I don't have fucking Toyotas. What was this movie? I remember it. I don't know much. Now, look, here's what happens. I've been in Gina as well, and Brian. Everyone's been kind of knocking on the door. We're in the range. We've been doing pretty good. I haven't been too far off. Been right around. It's a pretty tight game. This is the kind of thing where there could really
spin
be some
out.
Daylight in between you and a good score, because you could be 30 points off on this, because this is the kind of thing where you could go, I don't know, 75, and it could be 41.
Right.
That being said, I think the critics like Clooney. I don't remember this movie being panned. I just remember nobody really cared that much
came and
about
went.
It. Kind of came and went. And also, between Solaris and Joey Triviani or whatever the next one was. What was the...
What was Joey Triviani?
Oh, no, that was from... That's a guy from Friends. No, the... What was
the smoker one...
No, what was the one we just said, number three? Dawson, sorry.
Solaris?
Oh, Syriana.
No, the third film.
Syriana. Dawson, are you high or drunk, or are you high and drunk?
No, I can't hear what you're saying up there.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yes. All right, between that movie and this, I feel like he's making up too many names for Syriana and Solaris. All right.
Clayton.
Okay. I say, I feel like I'm either in the lead or I'm close. And I have to protect it a little bit. I don't think the critics loved it. They like Clooney. 63.
Damn, 66.
This is a make or break moment. I know nothing about it. It sounds super shitty. I said 39.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
Bold move,
Gina.
Bold move.
Well, one of you guys made it. One of you guys definitely broke it. Someone is on the nose. Solaris is certified fresh.
Oh, damn it.
At 66.
Oh,
I needed that.
No.
I needed that badly.
Shit.
You needed that 5 points.
I needed that badly.
So I got a 5-point deduction for nailing it on the head. Let's see what we got here.
66.
Well, Gina, you just knocked yourself out of this shit. You got, made up 3 points on me, but then
eight
with the five. That all of a sudden got bunched up a little bit.
The plot of this movie sounds so fucking dumb.
Well, let's go ahead and start with third on the podium, Gina Grad. Well played. Proud of you.
Thanks.
You lost it there at the end. Gina Grad with a score of 60, leaving Adam Carolla and Brian Bishop. 5 points separates you guys.
Oh,
man.
Was it the 5 points that got deducted? We're going to find out. Adam, today is a great day for you. Because you love it when bald Brian feels good about himself. Brian with a score of 40. Adam, 45.
Oh, God damn it.
Magical 5 points.
The fucking 5 points he got for landing dead nuts on a 66 to 63. And then the 3 points as well. Jesus,
this
God
is the greatest
Christ.
Game ever.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game.
God damn it.
You know how we do.
Fun.
Snake bitten. If I'd only gone this guy.
Yeah, the common man.
Listen to your genius friend.
This guy, he's a leatherneck. That means, for a lot of people, that means you do gay porn. Okay. You got to be in the business. People get confused. This guy, salt of the earth, come of the back. Gay porn star, and I ignored his advice. And for that, I will be forever haunted.
Take it to your grave.
I will take that to my grave. That'll be the last thing I think about, man. Why? Why?
And that was a Rotten Tomatoes game live from Bakersfield at Tembler Brewing Company. And that'll do it for Corolla Classics today. What a show!
Yeah, and if you love this episode, tomorrow in the Classics feed, we have another clip from 2190, Gina's News, which you've probably never heard. We got some classic Teresa Strasser. We have some Allison Rosen and Larry Miller. All three news girls and three perfect clips.
So make sure to tune in by subscribing to Corolla Classics, the podcast. Before we get out of here, I want to remind everybody about GEICO. If you own or rent a home, then of course it's hard work, but bundle those policies with GEICO. All right, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. So make sure to head over to GEICO.com. Get a quote. See how much you could save. How easy is this?
It's GEICO easy.
Oh, it is. It's short as Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. All right. That'll do it for Corolla Classics. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's super fan Giovanni.
Mahalo and get on.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV and drop into that world for free, baby. That is free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows free. Yes, free. No subscription, no fees. 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV, and start streaming it now. So, you want to watch TV, you want to watch all your favorite shows, you want to cut that cable, you don't want to spend all that money. Well, how about you spend zero money with Pluto TV? Pluto TV, drop in, watch for free.